listening to www.peoplesinternetradio.com, seeking solutions.
You are all about to get on this record. Getting to be a strange place. A lot of crazy things are happening. A lot of questions need to be asked. A lot of puzzles need to be put together. And here are all the pieces that you're going to get from one man right here on The Big Puzzle with your host, the one and only man from Canada, Mr. Barry Ritz.
Well, good day, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and you gators and grannies, to this Sunday afternoon edition of The Big Puzzle. My name is Barry Prince, and coming to you live from my kitchen. Oh, boy, I'm getting some static there. Is that on your end?
I'm not getting any.
What the hell's going on there? Excuse me, guys. I can't even hear myself talk here. I'm getting blasted out, Steve.
I'm not sure.
Hang on. Sorry, folks. I've never heard that before. I don't think it's coming from my end, Steve. Wow. You're not hearing anything, Steve? Because I can't hear anything right now.
No, I'm not.
Sorry, guys. I apologize for that. Okay, well, I'll try.
Let me put something on and I'll start another call.
Yeah, please, because I am actually getting blasted here right now.
All right.
What's going on? Okay. Sorry about that, folks.
You are all about to get on this record. Getting to be a strange place. A lot of crazy things are happening. A lot of questions need to be asked. A lot of puzzles need to be put together. And here are all the pieces that you're going to get from one man right here on The Big Puzzle with your host, the one and only man from Canada, Mr. Barry Ritz.
You're listening to www.peoplesinternetradio.com, seeking solutions.
Where never light is shone by silver streams.
for some reason, folks, I'm getting some feedback on my end, and can't figure out what it is, so I'm just going to kind of plunk forward here, but I don't know where I left off or where I stopped. I know that I haven't asked for support for the stations, and I always like my start off my shows by plugging the stations a little bit, and if, I know things are a little bit tough money-wise right now for folks, but if you can even spare maybe a cup of coffee a month for the stations, I know they would muchly appreciate that. I'm joined here for the first hour by one of the people that are carrying our shows now, and that is Kevin Gallagher. I know I kind of got lost at the beginning here, guys, so you just have to forgive me. But Kevin's been carrying our shows on the Truth Be Told radio network now, and he's been kind enough to join me for an hour for a conversation. How you doing, Kevin?
Good. How are you?
A little bit short of breath here, and a little bit frustrated with the start and the noise. The noise I'm getting in my background.
Yeah,
I don't technology. Know what it is, buddy, but I'll just hang in there.
Technology. It's a beautiful thing, you know?
Mm.
Yep.
So there's been a lot of, well, what I said before we started here today, Kevin, I wouldn't mind just talking about it for a minute or two. I know there's a lot of stuff in the United States we want to talk about going on right now, but with all the political turmoil in Canada here lately, I haven't really been spending a lot of time looking at geological events that we're experiencing on the planet right now, but spent a little time today kind of getting caught up on everything. And what we're seeing, Kevin, is, and you're probably well aware of this, is an unbelievable spike in earthquake activity around the planet. Not only increase in numbers, but the size of the earthquakes that we're seeing, and volcanoes are popping off like crazy. And you know, I'm not a doomsday or a fearmonger. I'm just kind of the guy like to sit back and watch this kind of stuff, because some of it's going to affect us directly, very near in the future here, I believe. And I'm just telling you guys, it's getting a little crazy out there, especially what's going on with China right now. The Three Gorges Dam, I just read a report on it this morning, and they're at a what they call almost a red alert situation right now with the Three Gorges. The potential that dam could collapse is a reality, and they're really having problems with it right now. So keep an eye on that. I'm not going to get much into it. I kind of just stuff I watch, and China City just got hit with major earthquake, and people are getting rocked right around the planet right now. And definitely something I think we should all keep an eye on. But I want to get into the political situation in the United States today, and I'm joined by Kevin Gallagher. Kevin is the proprietor of the Truth Be Told radio network, and they are carrying my shows. And welcome to the show, Kevin. Always good to have you back in.
Hey, thank you for having me on. I appreciate it.
So what's on the top of your list today, bud?
Well, you know, it's a wild, crazy world we live in. It gets nuttier and nuttier. And in the Bible, it says that, you know, we will come to days where good is called evil and evil is called good. And we've arrived.
We're there. Yes, we are.
So, you know, even if you're not a Christian, you're not a believer in the Bible or anything like that, you have to admit we're there. It's happening all around us. And really, from what I can see, and I don't mean to sound like a pessimist, but I think it's going to ramp up. I think it's going to get worse. And Steve, if you have that 11-second clip, if you could play that just to kind of prove my point, to show this is the kind of soup we're in right now politically, even at the very top. So you can play it whenever you want.
Just one time or two or three?
Play it once, and then we'll come back and we'll play a couple more times just to let it sink in. It's about 11 seconds long.
Yep. Hang on a second.
I'm going to take questions if that's what I'm supposed to do, Nance, whatever you want me to do.
Am I up? No, we don't want him to talk.
You're back on air.
Okay, right. So, yeah, that kind of says
that. Rigel 7, it's the new
Roger. Can I take questions? So through history, Barry, what's happened through history is that the power of the throne always lies one step behind it. It's the people that has the ruler's ear. And in this case, you're looking at people like Nancy Pelosi. So we know who's really running the country now. People I know, like my wife, for example, other people I know, myself, I don't know how much of the apparent dementia that our president right now seems to be displaying is real. I don't really know how much of that is real, how much of that is being faked. I don't know. There is a video shot that you can find of Joe Biden. It's being shot. The video is being shot from the press corps people out from the press corps. And you can see these microphones dancing up, you know, people holding these mics with the covers on them. And you see Biden walk up and his hand goes right through the microphone. So we have President green screen at this point. So it's hard to say what's real and what isn't. And we've gotten to a point with our video technology, with Hollywood and all, that anything that can be created in a scriptwriter's mind can be put onto the movie screen, or in this case, onto a television screen. Anything right. can be made. If you look at science fiction films, even made around 2000, in the 2000s, the first, you know, first early years of the 21st century, you see a remarkable difference between the special effects, which are good then. Compared to now, it looks convincing. It looks completely real. Right. And that's the times that we live in. Plus, you have these you have technology out there where you can have one frame of an image and produce something that looks real. That image is comes alive and is moving and looks aware. They did this. It's called the deep fake technology, and they did this with a single shot that they took of the Mona Lisa, and it shows the Mona Lisa, the woman in the painting, talking and moving around, her hands going up and around, her head turning around, and it's just done from that one shot. So if that's what they're admitting they can do now, what is it that they can actually do?
Say, Barry?
Yes, sir.
Can I add something?
Sure, go ahead, Steve.
I've been seeing a lot of Facebook friends. They've got this app called FaceSwap, I think it is. A couple of guys. Well, I'm sure that there's plenty of people, but I've seen like two or three at least. They use this FaceSwap app, and they can put themselves into an actual movie. Their face goes into a movie, and it is 100% convincing.
Wow. I can't even begin. I'm still at rotary phones, guys, so I have a hard time comprehending all this stuff. I really do. I want to go back to the rotaries. But, you know, Kevin, we've said it so many times on shows over the years that, you know, the technology they have and what we're actually allowed to know about are two different things completely. You know, we get estimates of them being ahead 10 to 15 years in technology, and none of that is exposed to the public. So really, you know, you got to ask yourself, what kind of toys do they have in their toolbox that they're going to deceive us with? We look at hologram technology now. Well, we see how far that has advanced. Let's project that 10 years down the road. And what do they have, man? Tools of deception beyond belief. Go ahead.
Oh, it's unreal what they can do. And I've heard stories or things that I've looked at where they're running anywhere from 30 to 300 years ahead of us. So, you know, you have had for – I found this kind of amusing under Trump's time in office is that they were talking about having a space force. But they – I've seen reports of them having – you know, a quote space force going all the way back to Clinton's days. So it was just getting around to being announced at that point in time, but they've had that for a long time.
Right.
And you have to ask yourself just questions where you've had U.S. military generals and things claiming, well, we own all of the space between the Earth and Mars. Well, how can you do that without physically being there?
Yeah. Who's the real estate agent? I want to have a talk with him.
Yeah.
No kidding, right?
You know, they control all that space. So how are they doing that without a physical presence? You know, a presence. You have to have a physical presence.
Well, nothing would surprise me. Nothing would surprise me anymore.
Yeah, and that's what gets me is, you know, the public is basically treated like a bunch of mushrooms. They're put in the dark and fed you know what. So this is the world we live in. We've always had an elite class. You can go all the way back as far as you can muster. There's always been an elite class, but up until the last 150 years or so, people have been told there is no such thing as an elite class. That doesn't exist. As a matter of fact, if you think that there's an elite class, you're a conspiracy theorist. And well, folks, it's never changed. There's always been an elite class in societies, no matter what society you're talking about. And there's one here now. We happen to call it the New World Order. There's a variety of other names, but it's all essentially the same thing. About 6,000 people that think they're in charge of the planet and think that they run things, and that's that. And that's how these things go.
Well, those people do control a vast majority of the financial systems in the world, and that gives them power.
Yeah.
It does.
Yeah.
And we see that now, what they're able to do with that power, what they're doing with this COVID-19 around the planet. You know, the thing about Joe Biden that gets me the most, Kevin, is it's like Trudeau now in Canada. I'm having a hard time listening to the guy talk. I really am.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because I honestly, when Trudeau speaks in Canada, I almost can't listen to him because I get a really violent reaction in my stomach. And I get that same reaction when I listen to Joe Biden.
Well, I'll tell you, it's one of these things where as soon as Biden is up on a commercial or I'm watching anything online and Joe Biden comes up, I just turn the thing off, fast forward through it, because he's President Green Screen. He's not there. We don't even know if the guy's alive. They can fake so much stuff. You know, for me, I sit here and I think, when is it going to happen when I wake up in the morning, I put on my local radio station and the news comes on and they say, well, you know, Joe Biden passed away in his sleep last night and we're going to be swearing in Kamala Harris at noon. I don't know. I mean, that's the reality that we have to look towards, because we don't know. I mean, we just don't know. I mean, that's the problem. They can fake so much stuff. It can get so fake so easily now.
It's hard to get to the bottom of the barrel.
Yeah.
It really is. I know. Just when you think you got to figure it out, they throw another curve at you.
Yeah.
And Joe Biden, I mean, he has been set up to fail, man. It's obvious that, that was a good point that you brought up about how much of his dementia is actually real and how much of he's actually faking, because you know the plan's been all along to get Carmella in there. That she is the destined one. That's going to happen. It's just a matter of when it's going to happen.
Yeah.
You know, you look at Biden and you think it would be happening tomorrow.
Yeah.
And then what? Nancy Pelosi? Is she going to be the vice president? Is that what we're looking at, Kevin?
She would be the VP. So, Steve, let me know when you have that 11-second click open again, ready to go, because that's worth listening to again. Because
it's up.
That 11 seconds explains everything we're living through right now.
It's up.
All right, just play it.
I'm going to take questions, if that's what I'm supposed to do, Nance, whatever you want me to do.
Am I up? No, we don't want him to talk.
Okay, you're back on.
Okay, so there was also another clip that you wanted to play today, too, correct, Kevin?
Yeah, but you got to love it, because you hear Pelosi saying, no, we don't want him to talk. Now, the not want him to talk is allegedly the president of the United States, the most powerful man in the world. That's what I've heard since I was a child.
Mm.
So I guess not, because there's somebody else there who's the Speaker of the House saying whether or not he can speak to the media. So who's in charge?
That's a very good question. Very good question. What's going to happen here in the next couple, 3 months is got me asking a lot of questions. I keep hearing about the military getting involved at one point with this. I keep hearing it. Does the military still have enough power in the States to stop this madness right now, Kevin?
You know, I don't think the military is going to do anything, because there was a letter that was given to Trump when he was president right before his term was up. And it was from the Joint Chiefs of Staff, and they said in a very nice way, something that we would do with our hand in a very vulgar way. They put it in very political speech, saying, well, you know, the will of the people has spoken. We had a duly done election. It was legal, and Joe Biden has been found to be the president. So we are no longer taking our orders from you. So You have to remember, you have to go back to the days of Obama. And during the 8 years of Obama's presidency, he cleaned house. He got rid of all the generals that would not swear allegiance to the New World Order. He cleaned house. He got rid of those guys. So the guys that were left were the ones who were like, Yeah, man. I want to be a general. Promote me, and I'll swear allegiance to anything you got. That ham sandwich over there, I'll swear allegiance to it. No problem. And those are the people that are left. So that's why you weren't going to see any of this stuff happen. We had a lot of patriot mythology going on. We had a lot of hopium, okay, is what I call, a lot of hopium. And we heard every 30 seconds, every 3 hours, every 3 days, we would hear about how the next biggest breaking thing is going to happen. That's going to break the cabal. It's going to break everything down. It never happened. And so, you know, it puts people in a state of always just sitting on the starting line, even after the gun has been fired. So they're like, hey, if you could get into the boxing ring with Tyson in his prime and you could convince him to be with his legs tied and his arms tied behind his back, I would get in the ring in that fight. The only thing I'd have to worry about is him biting my ear. But if I didn't get close enough, I would have to worry about that. I could even knock him out. I couldn't knock him out today if I saw him on the street, and I wouldn't try. But this is what's been done to the American people. And when the hopium went in, it's exactly like tying up his arms and his legs and telling Mike Tyson that he can't throw a punch and you get in the ring. And that is what they did, because it created a sense of, well, somebody else will do this. Somebody else is going to be my savior. Somebody else is going to come to the rescue. I don't have to do anything because the cavalry is on the way. Mm. Well, no, it's not. So, you know, this is why you've heard me say on the radio for years, guys, you've heard me say that it's time to get off the couch, stop watching American IDLE, and actually do something. And I'm not saying to go and take up arms. Don't get me wrong there, but there's a lot that can be done, like getting on a radio show. You're doing a radio show. I can do things like this, but if you ask me to go and try to make up a sign and draw a straight line, I can't draw a straight line even if you gave me a ruler, okay? But I can do things like these. And then you just have to sit down and ask yourself, what is it that I have to contribute? What is it I can bring to make people aware of what's going on? And if they're not aware, or if they are aware of what's going on, making sure they're listening to things that are not propaganda, twisted. And it's a question of trial and error, and figuring out who's telling the truth, who's twisting things, who's being honest, maybe get something wrong once in a while, which we all do. But actually doing something and not just sitting on the couch watching American IDLE and whistling Dixie. That's not what's going to help our world or help our country.
Well, you're correct, Kevin, and we all have talent. And you're correct. You know, some of us can do talk. Some people can do research. Some people are technically inclined. Everybody can bring something to the table. Even though you don't think you can bring something to the table. Yeah. What we're seeing in Canada right now, Kevin, is just absolute beyond insanity. It absolutely has gotten completely out of control in this country, where we have a premier of Ontario coming out and giving the police the right to stop you anywhere, anytime, on the street, if you're in public, and ask you where you're going, what you're doing, and why you're out of your house.
Yeah.
You know, this is where have we seen that before, Kevin? Well, we saw in Germany in 1937, a carbon copy of what is going on in society right now was the exact same template used by the Nazis to take over Germany. And where did it end up going? Well, we're in Canada right now. What's actually happened here in the last couple days since Ford came out and made this announcement? It is absolutely stroke the whole country. The whole country is now going, what the heck is going on here? Then, of course, our great knight in shining armor came out 2 days ago, been pushing the vaccine programs for how many months now, but came out and made the big announcement that, guess what, folks? Having this vaccine ain't the answer, that you're still going to have to wear your mask. You're still going to have to socially distance. We're not going to be lifting the restrictions. You're still going to be under all the restrictions, but you're all going to have this cool new vaccine in your veins. This stuff is crazy, Kevin, crazy. Anybody that takes that is got to be insane, because they just haven't looked at it in any shape or form. They're blindly following the government. But how many people have stuck it in their body already, Kevin? How many?
Well, you know, here's the thing. Let's just go to a best case scenario. And let's say the vaccine is 100% safe, 100% works. Assuming that. And I know what happens when you assume. We know what happens when you break that word down. But let's just make that assumption. Here we have a vaccine that everybody tells you is experimental. Now, there are no ways that you can sue the vaccine companies. They are immune from prosecution. So, right. Number one, on one level, the general public is being used as a guinea pig. Number two, they rushed out an experimental vaccine because of all the fear that was hyped out by the news media.
Of course.
And news is not a word. News is an acronym. News stands for North, East, West, and South. It's the direction they want to put your mind in. So just remember that. News is an acronym. Mm. So the thing is, knowing that and knowing that number one, about 2% or less of all the people that have ever gotten whatever this is have died. And most of those people already had compromised immune systems. So your chances stand really good. Okay, that you're going to survive it. Now, if it was a scenario where it was 98% of the people that were passing away after getting this, then I could understand rushing something out trying to – because, hey, you know, what do you have to lose? But we're dealing with 2% or less roughly of the people dying who get this vaccine – excuse me, that get the illness. And some of these people right now, people that I know very well, have gotten the COVID and have gotten that with pneumonia. And right. And that people very close to me that I know, some who've almost died from it. And that's not pretty. But that vaccine – see, the problem with viruses is that they can only replicate so many times. And every time they replicate, it's kind of like if you use the old analog days. Every time you made a recording of that recording, it degraded and it got worse in quality. And when vaccines replicate, they replicate downward. They get worse and worse until there's only so many times they can replicate, and then you get what's called herd immunity because enough right. people have gotten it. They aren't right. they aren't going to be subject to it anymore, and the virus peters itself out. Right. That was never done here. They locked everybody up. Nobody was able to get sick from it in the early days and then let the thing just run its course and be done and over with. Instead, we're dealing with this now 2 years in. Now, I also understand that when you give and turn over your rights and you give power to governments, and you do that willingly, they're never willing to give that back to you. It happens so rarely because people normally then have to take up arms and say, listen, you need to stop doing what you're doing. Mm. That's been the historical record. But when you look at what's going on, you have 98% recovery rate. You have a vaccine company that cannot be sued. They're running an experimental vaccine, which means that you cannot even sue them at all because we're not operating under normal operating procedures. We're operating under an experimental vaccine. You've waived your rights when you took it to actually being able to sue them in the vaccine courts. So
yeah, it's not even legally classified as a vaccine, Kevin.
So why would you take it? Knowing that and doing it as a perfect scenario, which it isn't, why would you take the vaccine?
Because they tell me it's safe.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
The same people that told me that two planes took down three buildings in New York in one day told me it's safe. They never lie to you, Kevin.
They told me that smoking was perfectly safe for years.
They told us that acid rain was going to kill the planet.
There you go.
And then the ice caps were supposed to melt. What's next, buddy? It's a joke. Yeah. It really is, Kevin, but it's not a joke because we're in this. And the fact that people cannot sit down and rationally think this out for an hour, really, that's all it takes is you go look at the Great Barrington Declaration, Kevin. It's at 85,000 doctors, my friend, are screaming at the top of their lungs. And these aren't just your run-of-the-mill doctors. These are people with degrees up the wall, down the wall, and across the floor. Mm-hmm. And they're all screaming at the top of their lungs. But you don't hear a murmur about that on mainstream. All you hear is their so-called experts that are basically run-of-the-mill people just propagandizing this vaccine or just this virus to a point where society is running around hiding under their couches. It's just absolute lunacy, buddy.
Yeah,
the actual numbers are, Kevin, that 99.8% of the population are never affected by this virus. And that's a copulation of a whole pile of studies. That's kind of the accepted number. Now, that's, you know, even 98%, but that is such a small number of our society.
Say, Barry.
Who's it affecting, Kevin? It's affecting people over 65 to 85 years of age.
Say, Barry.
That happens with any virus. Yes, Steve.
Over 16,000 doctors and scientists and nurses worldwide have come out.
Huh?
Over 16,000 doctors, scientists, and nurses have come out now. Worldwide.
Wow. Wow.
Well, they're coming out in droves now. We actually seen in Ontario the police stand up to the government for the first time here in the last day and a half, where all these police departments in Ontario have come out and said to the Ford government that they're not going to enforce these absolute draconian measures announced by the government 2 days ago. Mm-hmm. So, boy, I'll tell you, they had to take a step back here, Kevin. They made announcements on all kinds of withdrawals on these new measures this morning. So the Ford government is getting kicked, and they're getting kicked really hard. But what it's done, it's woken up a lot of sheeple that are starting to say, hey, what is really going on here? We've been following your measures now for a year. We've been following your guidelines. We've been wearing masks. We've been socially distancing. But the numbers just keep going up and up and up. Well, it's not about numbers, folks. It's not about this. It's about complete control of our society. And they're really getting close to that, Kevin. They really are. When they got people rolling up their arm to take this vaccine. Go ahead.
Well, it's fear. And you know, when we go back to the very beginning of this thing, we had a media that was pumping the fear out. And when people, anybody, myself included, when you get afraid, your higher brain functions shut down. And you get into the reptilian mind, it's called. That's the fight or flight area where if you're attacked, even your hearing, your brain will turn your hearing off to conserve energy. That's why when you go red, you don't hear anything. And it's just, you know, you're in it for your life. So they pumped out the fear. You remember news, north, east, west, and south. They put you in the direction they wanted you to go. The people went in that direction. So then they cry out. The problem has been created. They cry out for an answer. And then what happens is the very people that create the problem poses the savior.
Of course.
And we've had a classic example of that. Now, once they've taken the power, they're not going to give it back. And I don't care what situation it is, what we're talking about. The result and the outcome is always the same. I always use the example from the Peanuts comic strip. If you haven't heard this example, then you're in for a treat, I guess. But what happens is Lucy has the football. Charlie Brown goes 40 clicks back, and he says, Lucy, please don't pull the football out right before I'm going to kick it. You know, I'm going to fall on my back in the mud. And she swears up and down, I'll never do that. I know I've done it in the past before, but I'll never pull the football out. Honest, I won't do it. He goes back to 40 clicks, gets a full head of steam, and right before he goes to kick the football, she pulls the football out, and he's on his back flat in the mud. And she does it every time. And we just don't ever seem to learn that little Lucy is going to pull the football out away from us no matter what she says. So we can't trust her to do the right thing. We can't trust the news media to do the same thing, because right when the time comes for them to do the right thing, they pull the football out.
Absolutely. They've used the same agenda over and over and over again in history, Kevin. And why? Because it works.
It works.
Like I said, we're a mirror image of what was going on in Germany in 1935, 36, and 37. How they took over the media, how they took over the youth, how they took over every aspect of people's lives, how they got rid of all dissenting voices. We're seeing the exact same scenario being played out today. One of the books that I did read, and I'm not a reader, but I have read the Communist Manifesto. And it really, really kind of crossed the T's and dotted the I's for me is exactly how these programs are going forward, what they're doing to society, and how they're funneling us in the directions they want us to go. People better wake up to this, Kevin, because we're going to be in a full-blown communist dictatorship here very, very short time. I want to say when, but we see them coming at us light speed right now. They're really ramping up the agenda, and people just don't seem to be able to see the trees for the forest.
Yeah, that is the case, you know, and we're dealing with something. See, I'm not even sure at this point, you know, what we're dealing with, because a virus, if this is indeed a virus, I mean, we don't even have, from what I understand, they don't even have an example, a sample of this virus anywhere. So I don't know what they haven't isolated. So I don't know what they're basing a vaccine on. So number two, since that is the case, and you see viruses do not respond well to ultraviolet light. And so this is why you have a flu season in the winter, because the level of ultraviolet light goes way down. They like to be in dark, wet places like your lungs. Mm-hmm. So as we came into spring last year, summer, I thought, okay, this thing's over with. But then people are still getting it and this and that. And I'm like, well, I'm thinking maybe we're not really dealing with a virus. Maybe it's something else. And it could be a combination of factors. It could be, as we can see, the flu has completely disappeared off the face of the earth. I mean,
yeah, what
the one good
the
thing, I guess, is that the COVID-19 eradicated the flu as we know it. So, you know, you got to wonder how much of this is actually the flu, how much of this is something else, because you have drugs out there like ivermectin, which has been around for about 65 years. It's recognized as one of the safest drugs that you can take. It gets used in humans, in cattle. If your dog has heartworm, they'll prescribe it. It has little or any known real side effects.
Right.
And it wipes out viruses. It has shown that in 2 days you can have full-blown COVID and it's like 90% wiped out.
Yep. At 12 cents a dose.
12 cents a dose. And it's cheap. It works. You can't have that because pharmaceutical companies aren't going to make the money. There's things here that are actually working. If you go onto the Daystar Network, which is a Christian broadcasting network, and look up Dr. Pierre Corey. He does a really good presentation. He's a pulmonary expert, a doctor that handles that with critical care. And he's come across the ivermectin. Several countries are using that as a primary go-to. The inventors, the people that found out about this 65 years ago, they eventually won the Nobel Peace Prize because of what they've been able to figure out. It's been prescribed over 4 billion times over the last 65 years.
Yep.
It's got a proven track record. I take it myself. So it has – I can tell you firsthand experience. The only side effect that I've ever felt lasted for 2 days, and on both the top of my forearms I felt like prickly heat and it went away. And that's the only thing I've ever felt, and you just aren't going to get this if you're on it. So, and I take it like once every 2 weeks. I mean, it's really difficult, isn't it?
Boy, that would end all the problems, blow them right out of the box. They cannot have that. You know, since 1960, Kevin, approximately 2,000 scientists have attempted to make a vaccine to treat coronaviruses, and they've all failed. None have ever been able to create a vaccine for this. In the tests that they did back in the 60s and 70s, kids are dying. They didn't do animal studies back then. Now we bypassed the animal studies. Normally a vaccine, any accepted vaccine through the FDA, takes 7 to 10 years to bring to the market.
Say, Barry.
And we brought this under a declared medical emergency, which is not a medical emergency in any shape or form, but the media has ramped it up and people are buying it.
Say, Barry.
What we got to do, Kevin, is I think we need to make a vaccine to fix stupidity.
Hey, Barry.
I would be on board for that. Yes, Steve.
We've had the coronavirus at least 8 different variances since 1934. Since 1934.
I was studying all that, Steve. But yet, I was looking at the data going back for years on this.
But yet they made this one.
It's just a joke.
But yet they made this one in 3 months, though.
Well, they're also now, they're not letting us see the raw data for the trials. They're keeping that from us. This whole thing is just – there's no long-term safety testing at all. No informed consent.
There is no virus.
They're underreporting all the adverse reactions and deaths right now are being covered up. It's just – man, it's just – and then they come out and tell us it's not going to stop it. So why are we taking this?
Exactly.
Tell me. I mean, am I stupid or what? I don't know, Kevin. I just can't see the rationale. But people are rolling up their sleeves. Because the government says, you got to get your vaccine, man.
Yeah, well, you know, the volcano that's going off on St. Vincent's,
yeah.
I found it really amazing that they would not rescue you from the island if you hadn't taken the COVID vaccine. And okay, I'm serious. And then you have
I didn't hear that.
Try to figure that one out. But the problem is that you're creating – what's being created is two different sets of people, those that have taken the vaccine and those who haven't. And in the United States, there is a principle called equal treatment under the law. So if I don't take the vaccine and yet I am denied government services or my rights, even though I'm paying taxes and everything else, just like the slob next to me that took the vaccine, well, that's now not equal treatment under the law. And that creates a problem. And so, you know, these unfortunately, these are the kind of things I think about. But we are entering into that type of a gray area, and that is unfortunately something that's going to go into corrupt courts for them to figure out.
Wouldn't surprise you to know that, you know, Fauci and six others have patents in the Moderna vaccine. That's just a coincidence, buddy.
Wouldn't surprise me at all. Wouldn't surprise me.
You wouldn't believe that he's in the hot seat for gain of function research. You wouldn't believe that, would you, if I told you?
Oh, no, never. And I mean,
you wouldn't believe me that the virus continues to mutate. You wouldn't believe that it's always being censored from the public, which it is. We're in full-blown communist dictatorship, folks.
Dude. Let me tell you the best thing about Fauci. You know what it is? Watching my 7-year-old granddaughter do her impersonation of him. That will put you on the floor, roll around on the floor laughing.
We should get her on here, man. I could use a good laugh right now.
Oh, boy. But that's the best thing about Fauci is watching her do her impression of Fauci.
I chuckle a lot at this stuff, Kevin, because if I don't, I'm going to lose my mind. I really am. I'll have to laugh at it because it's absolute insanity that we're actually living in this wackadoodle world now. All of a sudden, our world is completely turned upside down. What, in the last 14 months, when they came out in Canada and this all started, Trudeau came out and yelled at the top of his lungs that 50,000, minimum 50,000 Canadians were going to die. And up to 350,000 of us were destined to die. And people freaked right out. And everybody ran and hid under the couches. And now we find in Canada the number hasn't gone over 22,000 so far. And out of that, 88% of them are over the age of 60 years, my friend. Yeah. Yeah. General society, our children. You know, the biggest thing that's driving me crazy, Kevin, about this is what we're doing to our children, buddy.
Yeah.
It absolutely tears me to pieces. It really does. That society is doing this to children, and we're not putting a stop to it, my friend. You know, the world's leading vaccinologist is talking against this now. The world's leading vaccinologist, person that's been on board with vaccines all his life, is now screaming his lungs off at the top of his lungs right now. Brett Vandenbosch, I believe his name is, or Bosch, but he's recognized to be the leader in the world in this field. And he is screaming his lungs out. But you don't hear a murmur of that on mainstream, Kevin. What a travesty. Go ahead.
Yeah, it's just people need to think. I think it was Adolf Hitler that said, the leaders think God that the people do not think.
Yeah, exactly. And that's exactly what we're seeing right now. I can't stop talking. You know what? You can't. Whether we win this or lose it, we're not in charge of that, Kevin. But the fact that we're aware, a lot of people say, you know, why don't you walk away? Because people just aren't listening. But we can't do that, unfortunately. We have to keep talking. And we'll keep talking until they stop.
That's all you can do, you know?
That's all we can do at this point, buddy. Whether they're going to listen to us or not, that's up to them. But I seem to run into the blocks everywhere I go where people just don't want to recognize the fact that their government is working against them in absolutely evil, demonstrous ways. They just cannot admit that to themselves. So they continue to stay in the matrix. But I do see people waking up now, Kevin, in Canada, especially in the last couple of days here. I have seen stuff going across the internet that I've never seen before. So it's inspiring, but we really need to put our foot to the floor right now because they are. Go ahead.
Yeah, it's amazing. And hopefully people will wake up and you know, it's one of these things where there's a pushback and there's only so much that people can do before they start getting the resistance. You start getting a level of resistance, and even the most unaware people start scratching their heads. And that's what I hope really begins to happen, that people start asking some real questions. Now, they really can't do that too much. I mean, you look at the condition of the federal government down, and it's just, you know, the press secretary, Jen Psaki, I call her Jen Psaki, you know, because it's like something out of a Saturday Night Live, you know, skit or something, you know, the name and everything. It's just like, this stuff can't be real. And yet, you know, you look what happened with the elections, you look at the obvious fraud, and these are people who love fraud, they perpetrate fraud, they govern in fraud, they govern from fraud, and everything about them is fraud. And so none of this, and I mean none of this, should be a surprise to anybody. It really can't. I mean, you look at everything that's gone on since November, and it's a serious wake-up call that they could perpetrate that kind of fraud. I mean, to me, it's almost the equivalent of shooting a president in Dallas in 1963 in broad daylight at 1 o'clock in the afternoon Dallas time and get away with it.
Absolutely.
Okay, they got away with it. I mean, Ruby, okay, he went to jail. He died later of cancer very quickly. He shot Oswald, but Oswald never went to trial. We don't know what tells he would tell. They saw to that, and this is the thing. Now maybe we know why so many microbiologists, and they've all, you know, wound up floating in the river over the last couple of years.
Or naturopath doctors.
Or naturopaths.
Same thing. Anybody who's watched the Zapruder film, Kevin, has come to the conclusion that, you know, it wasn't a lone shooter that killed Kennedy.
No,
that's right in front of your face. It couldn't be that kind of shot. What happened to the side of his head didn't come from behind, buddy, and that's a fact. So, you know, they continue to keep that story going, but people have woken up to it. You know, but my big question is, whatever happened to science? You know, we used to be able to – we used to have a scientific method of actually challenging our assumptions, and that's been thrown out. And whatever happened to a lively debate – in our country, we're not allowed to debate this anymore. If we disagree with the World Health Organization or the CDC, we are absolutely slammed with censorship. Well, folks, this is all in chapter 3, 4, 5, 6 of the Communist Manifesto. Go read it, because it tells you almost word for word what's going on right now and how they're bringing this in to society. Go ahead.
What gets
The other thing too, you know, science.
Go ahead.
Science of public health, is it become a religion now? It seems to me that's what's actually happened, is the science of public health is now a religion, Kevin, and that's a slippery slope. Go ahead, my friend.
Well, the thing is, if you ever wonder about the word science and the word seance, they sound way too similar.
And if you take demic out of the word pandemic, what do you have?
Yeah.
And what does that create? Fear. This is all about fear. Fear is their biggest weapon. They use it so effectively, Kevin. And people just keep following like little sheep. You know, I put up a video of herds of sheep following each other. And it's so reminiscent of what's going on in society. I see people walking around outside on a sunny day where the chance of transmission is absolutely zero outside in fresh air. And they're walking around with masks. And I just shake my head. But what bugs me the most is they're putting them on their little kids. They're putting them on their kids. I want to get out of my truck and grab them by the throat. Go ahead.
No, but here's the thing to remember. We talked earlier about the ultraviolet light. Ultraviolet light and viruses can't coexist. The ultraviolet light destroys them. So I've gone into a number of drugstores here, like CVS, Walgreens, Rite Aid. You go in there and you look in their little electronics type section or cell phone section, and they have these little gadgets that are hanging on the J-hook. And it's something like a wand that emits, okay? It puts out ultraviolet light. And then this is used to, like, you wave it over your cell phone to destroy the viruses on your cell phone so that you don't get coronavirus. And I'm thinking, wait a minute. We have a sun, they say, is 93 million miles roughly away from Earth. It's a million times bigger than the Earth, and all it does 24 hours a day is shoot out all kinds of ultraviolet light. That's hitting us heavily in the summer when you get the higher temperatures. The viruses don't like the higher temperatures. They like the cold temperatures in the winter, and all the ultraviolet light – all the heat, 100 degree days, and yet that's not going to destroy it, but this little wand will. I mean, is it just me? Is it just me that finds that completely asinine?
Well, we live in a wackadoodle world, Kevin. You got to remember that now, that up is down and down is up. What was good is now bad, and what was bad is now good. And never has a truer word been said.
Yeah. So
where what I see, you know, is really when I study biblical prophecy and the timeline laid down in the Bible as best I can understand it, we're really getting into some interesting times coming up, Kevin. And
oh, yeah.
I'm not a fear-mongering type of person, but I'm realistic about what I see. And what I see right now, especially with what's going on in the earth, our geological events, signs in the heavens, what's going on with the sun right now. The sun is becoming more active right now. It's throwing out huge waves of energy. Any one of those could actually cripple a good part of civilized society if it hit us in the right time, in the right way. We live literally on a ticking time bomb that the planet could kick us so hard right now at any time it wanted to that society might not even be able to recover. So I took all that into context and what I see going on as far as other events in the world. Boy, we're sure in some interesting times, and the Bible is playing out exactly the way the book was written, in my opinion. Go ahead.
Yeah.
Sure. We only got a minute left, Kevin.
Okay, so no problem.
The hour went really quick. I'd like you to share with people can hear the Truth Be Told radio networks and the different outlets. And last couple thoughts, Eddie and my friend.
Truth Be Told radio network broadcasts 24/7, 7 days a week. You can listen by going to truthbetoldnetwork.org. You can listen over your cell phone, your Android, your iPhone. There's a software you can download for the Android phone. We're tweaking the iPhone app, so it's not downloadable right now, but it will be very, very soon, probably another week or two. You have every single major one of the smart speakers we broadcast over. So you can use the word, the wake word, and say Truth Be Told Radio Network, and it should come right up. With the Alexa one, you may have to enable it first. So you would just say the wake word and say enable Truth Be Told Network. It'll enable, and then after that, just ask it to play. We have like four different numbers that you can dial in to listen. If you want to find out all the ways, if you want to get our taping schedule, just contact me at contact@truthbetoldnetwork.org, contact@truthbetoldnetwork.org. And the type of person that really gives the state backflips, makes them very concerned, is one who can actually think. And if you can stand on your own two feet and think these things through and think for yourself and think on your own and not need government to do it for you, that scares them to death. 1984, we all know the novel. From what I understand, the original name for that novel was going to be The Last Thinking Man. But unfortunately, yeah, that was changed to 1984 because he wrote the novel in 1948 and the publisher just switched the last two numbers and make it 1984. And wow. Eric Arthur Blair, who we know better as George Orwell, wrote another book called Animal Farm that I would highly recommend reading to understand the power of propaganda. And that's about it. Think for yourself, people. Use the two brain cells that God gave you, rub them together and make something work, because most people, one brain cell doesn't know the other exists and they're not thinking. I'm sorry to sound like that, but that's really the way it is.
You're telling the truth, buddy, and there's nothing wrong with that. Listen, Kevin, thanks for coming in. I'm going to have to let you go. We will do this again real soon, and thanks for carrying my show on your network now.
You're welcome. God bless you.
I'll be back, folks, in 3 or 4 minutes with Wayne Peters, and he's got lots to talk about. Always look forward to my conversations with Wayne. Back in a couple minutes.
You're listening to www.peoplesinternetradio.com, seeking solutions.
Welcome back, second hour, folks, and thanks again to Kevin for coming in and what he's doing with The Truth Be Told. I applaud the man for the work he puts in trying to wake up his fellow human beings to the danger we're in. I've got Wayne Peters in for the second hour here, and anybody that's listened to my shows in the past has heard Wayne talk before. Gentlemen, I really enjoy talking with. Very, very smart man. I won't say that too many times because his head will explode. But very smart man and a gentleman, like I said, I really enjoy talking with. Wayne, what is your pet peeve of the week? And welcome back to the show.
Well, thanks for having me again, Barry. It's always an interesting discussion when we get our opinions together. Today, I'm going to start with a public service announcement. A friendly reminder that in Canada, it is Sunday. So to avoid fines, jails, or arrest, do not stop at a church, but go rather directly to the liquor store and the pot shop and the strip joint, then proceed directly home. Do not stop for ice cream parks, kids, or face the consequences. According to CCP orders from on high. That's my pet peeve of the week.
Unbelievable. Isn't it? What we see going on is just, we've been talking about agendas and how at one point in the future for years, how the government was going to clamp down on society. And this was a conversation that we've had for years about different methods they would absolutely bring society to the knees. And now we're seeing it, Kevin. Or Wayne, I should say. And it's playing out in light speed in front of our eyes. The fact that now I'm starting to see, in the last couple of weeks especially, a bit of a rise in Canadians' attention. I know it needs to accelerate, but I'm actually starting to see some positive signs in Canada. How about yourself?
Well, you know, I see these brief, fleeting instances. But then it's amazing how quick the establishment adapts to it and basically nullifies anything that might gain some traction or gain some momentum through one of their appendages of censorship or intimidation or propaganda. They have seemed to be continuously be one step ahead of everybody getting organized. And this is a little bit disheartening, but we have to focus on the victories. Regardless of how things appear, we are making things not just incredibly difficult, but we are making things impossible for them to do peacefully. And as this progresses and our conspiracy theories prove to be conspiracy facts, the people have to maintain their composure in doing this, because every step of the way that we have maintained our peaceful composure and our unwillingness to bend, it continues to prove them corrupt criminals and at every step of the way. And the facade, the charade cannot continue indefinitely. Insanity is unsustainable.
Well, they're definitely the masters of insanity, aren't they? When you look at what's going on in this country right now, especially what Dougie Ford there said in Ontario a couple of days ago, and then, of course, the massive pushback he received is an indication that maybe, just maybe, the police will flip and maybe they will stop terrorizing their own citizens and stand up for our rights. Because I think they're starting to realize, Wayne, that, you know, in the future, their children aren't looking at the kind of freedoms that they probably experienced in their lifetime if they continue to support what the government is telling them to do. I see a real shift in the police forces, and I hope it's legitimate, but it's a step forward, that's for sure.
On that note, what we saw yesterday was one of those fleeting moments that I was referring to, where we saw 39 of 45 detachments say that no, they would not enforce Mr. Ford's order. And this was their public statements in the digital space. But right. Yet today I see on Twitter an attorney in Ontario who has had 8 new client calls today from officers exactly enforcing those laws, those unjust laws that they publicly said they would not. So who do you believe, the reality or the avatars?
Right? Well, yeah, it was.
But exactly. At the same token, all of this was prompted by one, significant
officer.
Yes, but one significant example of united defiance. When this came out, there was videos flooding the internet of 3- and 4-year-old kids going and taking down ticker tape and saying no, and community standing up and saying no. And what happened? He backtracked on Parks within hours. This is the power of the court of public opinion that I continuously every day wait and hope and pray that we're going to get to see exercise itself to a significant measure in Canada, because I refer to it all the time, is that we the people truly have the power. All of these people can sit down and put their ideas together and write it onto a piece of paper in ink, a small group of individuals. But at the end of the day, if the people do not comply, what are their rules but nothing more than a piece of a bit of ink on paper? We the people get to decide. In this case, in Canada's case, we had better get to it. Chicken Louie, and that was an example, a very small sample of the ferociousness and the actual true power that Canadians have. And man, I hope they embrace it soon.
I hope it becomes contagious, Wayne. I really do, because we need to stand up. We could put this all to a stop tomorrow if people would get it, would understand the danger that we're in, the real danger that we're in. If we could just get the narrative of the mainstream for 24 hours and put it out to Canadians where we're going in the next couple of years, if we allow this madness to continue, you would see the rise in Canada. And what you're talking about is a prime example of what it takes from the, like you said, the court of public opinion has massive power. The pushback they got from that announcement, when Dougie came forward and made that announcement, the whole world was paying attention. And the whole world lit up. And, man, all I can say, Wayne, we need right now to put a stop to this, because they are going at light speed to destroy our country. And they're doing it. It's not far away, my friend. It really isn't. Go ahead. Go ahead.
We need to get away from the debate, the insignificant debates, the semantics, and start looking at some of the hard facts that are in our favor. For example, the case of Pastor Coates yesterday against the provincial government charging him, and the onus of his defense is in them proving that this magic bug even exists. And the courts gave the province a buy on that and said no, they don't need to prove it, and we're going to move to trial anyways. If this isn't the most extreme example of banana republic that
there, it's crazy. Wow, where's that noise coming from?
I have no idea.
I don't know, but I'm getting some talking in the background. Steve, where is that coming from, I wonder?
I'm not sure.
It's gone now. It's gone. Anyway, well, hey, you know, if that doesn't wake people up, but like I said, what Doug Ford came out and announced a couple of days ago has really, I think, has shot himself in the foot. Oh, again, we're getting noise from Steve.
You can hear that?
Yeah, we're hearing all kinds of noise coming in.
Okay.
Yeah. Background chat.
It's all good.
But, well, I mean, when the oppressors do not have to even prove their case, this is arbitrary law-breaking at the state level or the provincial level. If that isn't significant to telling people that none of this is about science or health or wellness or COVID. This is strictly about control, comply, or you will be jailed. Exactly. Do not dare to argue with the state. And the frightening part of this is I mean, to many of us that have been digging into this and screaming from the mountaintops for a very long time, none of this is a surprise. This is all been detailed and laid out in several documents. Mm-hmm. The evidence, there's mountains of evidence out there that corroborates exactly all of the things that we're saying, and even the stuff that did make it into the public. Where we're at right now, if we think back to that leaked Liberal document, they are right on track. And I how much of an awakening do we need, when today Brian Lilly comes out with a report in Toronto discussing how Trudeau is being leaned on to enforce the Emergency Measures, War Measures Act, basically to instill martial law in Canada.
Yeah. Out this, comes the military, Wayne, and they're exactly. ready. Exactly.
When we look at that leaked document, we are right on track. They told us there would be soldiers on every corner. And here is the thing. They expected this, but they expected violence from us. They expected an uprising. So they expected us to justify this action. We have not given them that yet, and this terrifies them. This is why all of a sudden when Doug backpedals like he did yesterday, this means they have to move up their timeline on their aggression to achieve their goals. So another most terrifying to me dot in this chain of events is also CTV now promoting an Antifa event in Montreal. This is straight up a 100% setup, exactly like G20, a false flag event. They are going to burn down Montreal so that they can justify bringing out the military, because they're going to say it's all the anti-maskers and the anti-lockdown people that are doing this to Montreal, and there they will have their event to justify bringing out the hammer on Canadians. We are walking into a trap.
Absolutely. And where would you want to take out first if you wanted to really bring Canada to its knees? The only province in Canada that actually has a culture that embraces their own culture, that kind of get it. And they're under the heaviest hands of tyranny right now in Canada with the lockdowns and everything else they're doing in Montreal. It all plays into exactly what you're talking about, Wayne. False flags work very effectively in society. If we look at history, the amount of times that false flags have been used, the effects of those false flags on society were being set up for the exact same thing right now. And you're spot on in that analysis, buddy. So what do we do about it?
Well, I mean, This is what frightens me, honestly, Barry, is because today is the anniversary of another exactly such event, and that one cost 23 lives.
And that was?
Nova Scotia.
The shooting?
Yes.
Is this the anniversary date?
What's that?
Is this the anniversary day today?
Yes, sir, it is.
Okay.
Now, there's asset that goes in and withdraws $475,000 of police money and goes on a shooting and burning spree, kills 23 people, including an unborn child that Mr. Blair refuses to acknowledge. And what happens? Complete cover-up. There needs to be a mass demand for a judicial inquiry into answers on this. And I don't mean a public inquiry. A public inquiry sounds better, but the thing about a public inquiry is any officer of the law, if it is deemed that his information is sensitive, is allowed to lie to the public in a public inquiry. They are not allowed to lie to a judge. So we need to have an open and transparent judicial inquiry into why the RCMP allowed this guy $475,000 and then allowed him to go out and kill 23 people. And then maybe Canadians will understand how devious and deviant and rogue this service corporation is that controls Canada.
Well, but remember, Wayne, 3 or 4 days later, Trudeau came out, tears in his eyes, saying, we just got to get the guns away from you guys. Look what happened.
Yep.
Oh, man. People bought it. And look what they're doing right now. They're after our guns, Wayne. Well, if you study history, any society that has been disarmed, that society has gone rogue and tyrannical on their citizens. This isn't about safety. This is about disarming the Canadian public. So when they do turn on us in full force, we're going to have rakes and forks and maybe we don't even have air guns anymore. They're taking them away, Wayne. Well, slingshots and bows and arrow against AR-15 full automatics. Go ahead.
One of the things about all of this is because of our resistance, everything we have made it difficult. Trudeau is a spineless whelp at best. And every step of the way, we have pushed back a little bit, enough to slow them down. Their timeline is all out of kilter. And the wheels are coming off of this scamdemic. And he cannot control the narrative much longer at all. So he needs a significant event. And this is all about construction. When you're building something bigger, better, back. You need to level the old stuff in order to have a foundation to build upon. So he's falling behind the gun on the development of this by not having leveled Canada out yet. So he is going to be looking for a significant event to blame on us and to achieve his destruction of Canada. Now, all of this is if a person follows and watches the financial markets. I mean, to me, that's mostly Chinese, but some of the people that I do know that can digest it down to me are suggesting that quite possibly if things collapse in the first 2 weeks of May, as they're kind of projecting, this is just another significant factor that is going to put us right in the crosshairs of this trap that he is setting up for us.
Right. He could hit us. He could hit us with two or three whammos at the same time.
And no matter how we look at this, people are going to be hungry. There's going to be discontent. They're going to have lost everything. They are coming in to wipe Canada off the map. And because we have been somewhat non-compliant, we are going to force them into showing their evil, corrupt hand. And they will do that because that's what tyrants and dictators do. They never ever resign. Not in the history of the world. They do not just say, oops, I'm sorry, and walk away. They must be stopped by the people. And at some point in time, they do. But it's up to the people to decide when the price they have paid is high enough that they will step up and do what's right, not what's easy.
Well, we could go into the Twilight Zone for a minute too, Wayne. You know, they're pushing this vaccine across the country. We know with nanotechnology, the limits of what they can do are beyond what we can actually even begin to comprehend now. What would stop them from possibly putting something in all these vaccines when it's hit with a certain frequency, we all drop dead. That technology, my friend, exists today, and it can be targeted. Phased array. We talk about 5G. We talk about how all that plays into what their plan is. These people are psychotic geniuses, man. They really are. That everything that we see right now happening in society was thought about, planned out, and discussed 3, 4, 5, 10 years ago, Wayne. And they're just going by the book right now. The plan is going at light speed. The whole scam is playing out exactly the way they want it. We'll never get back the power that we've given them. They don't give it back. They are drunk with power. They've seen how Canadians react. Boy, I'll tell you, they love it, Wayne. They just love it because the general population is all going, bah. Go ahead, my friend.
You know, we have to understand that all of these things that we're experiencing, whether it's a kidney punch or a liver punch or a throat punch or a head punch or a nut punch, it's all the same beast, but it has so many arms that it is continuously keeping us off balance and off kilter with where they're hitting us, and they are all interconnected. This is all a giant agenda. I mean, anybody that is gullible enough to believe that the guy that wants to depopulate 80% of the population also wants to save the 100% of the population through a vaccination program is absolutely delusional. Here I have some land for sale for you, you know, off the coast of Africa, right? And I mean, this is what we've fallen into, but this programming that this cash-induced programming that they are stealing from us in order to push this programming is mind-boggling. But the thing of it is every day that they get away with it is another million people vaccinated that they're going to eliminate. This is all just a eugenics program. And when we look at the bigger numbers of this, the last time I was able to get an accurate number was already 4 or 5 days ago, but there was 700 million people that have just been given an experimental death sentence. And when you look at sites like Deagle that are 100 have been reliable for 20 years on their prognosis of things, and they tell us that, for example, Canada is going to depopulate by 12 million people between now and the end of 2025. Well, what is the significant change in our environment that is going to depopulate us by 12 million people in the next couple of years? It sure isn't 12 million people moving to Florida.
Well, I know I kind of got out in Twilight Zone there on my last train of thought, Wayne, but not really, because nothing is off the table with these guys. Like I said, we are dealing, we can't understand their train of thought, because we consider ourselves to be normal people. We love our children. We love our families. We love people around us. We want people to be happy. We want people to have a good life. So it's really hard for us to understand the train of thought that goes through these people's brains. But everything, like I said, that's happening right now in our society has been well thought out in think tanks by very evil people long time ago, and it's just coming to fruition. We really have to step up our game, but I believe we are, Wayne. I'm seeing some positives now. Real quick story, buddy, and this was really an encouraging thing for me yesterday. I was out driving down the old Lake Gals Road. We went to the bridge, crossed the Lake Gals Bridge there, and there was five or six guys fishing. So we stopped. We're out checking the ground for fiddleheads, because our fiddleheads are going to start here in about a week or less. We're going to be able to get out in the bush and start picking. But anyways, there was five of these guys standing on the bridge. We stopped and started having a conversation with them, Wayne. And you should have heard the conversation, my friend. Every one of them is reiterating what you and me are talking about right now, that they are all really starting to get it. And the conversation went on for a good half hour, got handshakes and high fives from all of them. And it was so encouraging to see these guys were all, I would say, 35 to 50 years of age, and they were fully starting to become aware of what's going on in our society. Well, you know what? Maybe those guys will go home tonight and talk to 10 friends. We all got to sit down at our dinner tables right now and talk heart to heart with the people we love, Wayne, and tell them how much danger we're in. Because that 10 people can go out and change 100 people's thoughts. And that 100 can change 1,000 people's hearts. If we open our hearts up to and let them really know that we are in a serious, serious situation like I've never seen before in my life. But we have to deal with it. We're here now, and we got to take care of it, my friend.
Well, we didn't get to choose this war. The governments of foreign entities chose this for us. What we get to choose is how we're going to react. And the thing that I see a lot of encouraging things, but the biggest flaw that I see is the organization. We're still in resistance to this, and this has to be completely understandable. People cannot expect an easy button for this. It took 90 years for Canada to get into this mess, and 150 years for the world to get there. We can't expect it to be resolved in a minute. So this is where we're guilty of unfair expectations, and when they're not met, it leads us into a faster decline into depression and demoralization. And this is what we've got to break free of in having more realistic expectations and be willing to roll up our sleeves maybe a little bit more and collectively and look at maybe doing things differently when we're not getting the results that we want. We have to adapt, improvise to overcome. And I've suggested for quite some time now that we have our responsibility in all of this as individuals and patriots, and I use that word specifically, because people need to understand the difference between nationalism and patriotism. This is a significant point in their self-defense, in what they incur when they go out there trying to help people, trying to wake people up. They encounter this, you're a white a nationalist, like it's a curse. And this is significant terminology that they specifically use against us. Because most of us don't understand the nuances of the difference between patriot and nationalism. And a nationalist is somebody that is proud of their nation and will fight and stand for their nation regardless of what their nation does or stands for. A patriot will stand and defend their nation because of what it represents and stands
for. Right, right, exactly.
And this is something that we need to embrace within our souls when we go out there and not let ourselves get beat up, because no, we are not nationalists. We are patriots, and we are doing what is right for our God and country, because that is what our country is. It is not some foreign agenda.
Well, we don't have a choice, Wayne. We're obligated. We're morally obligated to actually stand against this in every bit of our fiber, that there has never been a more important time to be civilly disobedient in our society. We have to get this message out to people.
I've been thinking about this an awful lot in the last little while here too. And civil disobedience is for people that are upset and angry enough, is almost an invitation to do things that they might not think out. And at this point, I think I would still refrain myself to a united defiance. You know, to say no. Just to say no. Let's start with that. Let's start with this is where we have to, again, look at the encouraging things. And when we look at across Canada, every city, every major community, and even most small towns had people standing up in defiance. Right. This is what made Doug Ford back up within a couple of hours. So right. What happens if we quantify and do that, right?
Exactly. My interpretation of civil disobedience is doing what you're obligated to do at this point to stop any tyrannical government from doing what they're doing in Canada. I'm not encouraging violence. I'm encouraging the exact same thing that you're talking about. Just say no. No yep. is a very, very powerful word. All it would take, Wayne, is for us to get a majority of the people to say no, and this would end instantly, and we might get our world back. But if we don't, it's just going to continue to get worse and worse and worse. All we need to do, Wayne, is get the national airwaves for an hour and say, look, folks, we've got ivermectin for everybody in Canada right now, 12 cents a dose, come and get it. COVID vaccines, done. COVID virus, gone. Won't be here in 3 days. Everybody get their dose today, and problem is solved. Wouldn't that be cool? Wouldn't I like to get the airwave for an hour and tell Canadians that, Wayne?
I would just like to unplug them for about 12 hours. That would be miraculous, the transformation that would happen when they weren't getting their fix of fear porn.
When I turn the local radio on here, Wayne, all I hear, I don't listen to it, but if I do, I try not to listen, but if I do, it's continually fear porn on COVID-19 for a good 20 minutes. That's all they talk about. All the rest of the news in the world, it don't matter. It don't matter about the volcanoes or the seismic activity that people should be paying attention to. None of that is being talked about. It's just one focus and one focus alone. Well, that's what happens when you have a communist government that's taken over a communist media. Go ahead.
It's actually big pharma, actually. This is the goal, and this is something to take notice of. Pretty much any time you turn the television on, every commercial break is full of this kind of pill or that kind of cure or this kind of thing. One thing you won't see on there in between your regular scheduled programming is vax ads. You won't see the Moderna vax. You won't see the Pfizer vax in between your TV commercials. Why? Because it is against the law to use to advertise experimental drugs. Well, so this is why they are going after friendliness towards vaccination rather than they can't sell you the vax, but they can sure push their friendliness, and that only costs us $40 million an hour to do that.
There you go. Chicken scratch. I tell people, man, you just got to go look at the history of Pfizer and AstraZeneca and all these other companies, Johnson & Johnson. Look at the records of the vaccines that they brought out, how many times they've been taken to court, how many times they've lost in court. All that information is never, ever disclosed to the public, ever. All we hear is vaccines are safe and effective. Now they're ramming this thing through at light speed. It's bypassed all the safeguards for society under a perceived medical emergency that doesn't exist. It doesn't exist, Wayne. If you look at the numbers for the last 10 years in Canada, there's no difference. There is no difference, folks. The only difference is how it's being rammed up our butts by the mainstream media. Go ahead, Wayne. Sorry for the terminology. Go ahead. I don't know how else to describe it, my friend.
It's the flu with a new PR and marketing team. That's 100% all it is. And here's the significance of this. Now, most of us think of war as artillery, ships, navy, airplanes, bombing, soldiers, beaches, all of these things. That is very expensive. The public doesn't like it. It's messy, it's dirty, and like I said, it's incredibly expensive. It's trillions of dollars to fight a war. Well, Mr. Bill Gates figured out how to win a global war with needles at a much lower cost. As a matter of fact, he could get his victims, his target countries, to pay for their own demise while they, the globalists, sit back and giggle at us and wait for us to war ourselves to death and give ourselves needles to commit suicide. Jim Jones would be proud.
We're taking a vaccine that could possibly kill us for something that hasn't affected. I ask people all the time, Wayne. I say, how many people do you know have been affected by this? And what do I get for an answer? Crickets. Crickets. Come on, guys. Okay, so you're going to take an experimental vaccine that, you know, of course, the information is being quashed, but people have already heard that, you know, there's possibly something negative. No matter how hard they try and quash the information, some of it's getting out. People are starting to hear this. So you want to go take a vaccine that can possibly kill you for something that isn't going to affect you in any shape or form. The insanity. And now you want to give it to our children? Are you out of your mind? That is absolute insanity, folks. Insanity. Go ahead, Wayne.
In the short time of these vaccines, the adverse effects are astronomical. They're through the charts. Now, pretty much the only there's only a couple of places that track it. Veyers is one, and at 1% of the events that get reported, this vaccination program is already far more lethal than anything that they have ever used on humanity ever in the existence and history of vaccinations. Right. Now, on the side note of that, rather than allowing any form of discussion for it, on Facebook this morning, a support group that was started for people that have experienced adverse reactions to this vaccination program that had 120,000 members with testimony, evidence, and stories of all of this, poof, gone, deleted. Down the memory hole, gone.
Really?
This is the government's response to the public's concern about this murderous genocide, because we got to stop using soft words on this, because this is literally a genocide of Canada and anywhere that is that they are being allowed to stick this stuff into people.
I wasn't aware of that that page, Wayne. I wish I'd seen that before they took it down. That's the kind of thing. It would have been nice to take it into your computer and take it away so they couldn't take it down, so you could bring it up, because, like you said, that kind of information will be absolutely quashed. Anything that's against the narrative, anything that's against the WHO or the CDC, anything against the narrative in general will be absolutely quashed. You'll be attacked. And, boy, now they're going to come out with the old vaccine passport. Here we go.
That's the plan.
That's the plan, yeah, man. Yeah. And they're going to ram it down our throats, and people are going to buy it, Wayne.
Well, they're not going to they tell us they're not going to make the vaccines mandatory, but you're not going to be able to leave the front stoop of your house without a vaccine passport. That's going to be mandatory. So you can sit at your home and starve to death and protect your human rights, or you can take the mark of the beast and buy and trade and buy groceries again. This is ultimately what we're facing as a society, as a species even. This is potentially a species-ending event, and you can't come back from genetic mutilation. This is not even genetic manipulation. They have no idea what the effects of this are going to be, so this is literally genetic mutilation. And people are there is no escaping that. You can't undo this. You can't fix it. And if enough people have it, that is it is literally species threatening.
Absolutely. Well, the mark of the beast, you know, the Bible talks about it in great length, Wayne, about this particular time we're in. And we're in it now. I'm absolutely convinced of that. This is how they're gonna roll it out, and this is what's gonna happen in society. Whether you won't be able to buy, sell, or trade, or have any commerce in society without taking this vaccine.
I believe that is the mark of the beast.
I don't know. It could play into it. Go ahead.
They have to depopulate a lot of us first. So the first is just cleanup. The first few waves of this vaccine, what it does is it basically turns your fight all system, your genomes that fight any virus that you get, it turns them into solo target things. They'll only fight one thing. So then once it's been your little genetic soldiers have been reprogrammed to not fight everything. They'll only fight one thing, then the common core will be lethal. So it's not, even if it's the vax, isn't the vax that gets you, it's the next cold that will, or the next thing that you never would have thought about, it will be lethal to a vast majority of the population. And this is how they're going to continue their perpetual crisis, because any government that allows itself temporary measures over a crisis will continue to always have a crisis to not relinquish their temporary powers. And this is
we'll never let a good crisis go to waste, buddy, ever.
Nope.
And so that's the same agenda over and over again. And it's tough, man.
And the only way The only way they're going to be able to keep this going is for bodies to start falling, or for us to start getting violent. That's the only two choices that they have to keep the wheels on their bus.
Yeah, we don't want to go to violence, because if we go to violence, we're going to lose, Wayne. And I've said that over and over and over again. That's where they're pushing us to. It's where a lot of Canadians are now going, hey, wait a second, that we're just not going to take this. We're not going to take this tyranny. And they're starting to push the buttons, and I see that across the country, my friend. I really do. We got to avoid that. That the only avenue, I believe, we still, even though the court systems are corrupt, if enough people were to push back through the legal systems we still have in place in Canada, I think that would be the most effective mechanism right now to fight what we see going on. What do you think? Is that a hope?
And we have to do that in the public.
In droves. And we have to do it in mass.
Canada has to be involved in that. We have to be driving the narrative on that. They have to be reacting to us to expose what we demand of them. So this, again, the ball is in our court. We've seen what a little bit of the court of public opinion is capable of. So let's put our foot on the gas, Canada.
Yeah, let's make them accountable for the measures that they've enacted on the country based on numbers and facts, not their bullcrap public health opinions who are being funded by organizations like the World Health Organization. I mean, look at Theresa Tam. Look at her connections to the World Health Organization. Look at her connections to the World Economic Forum. Same thing as people like Michelle Rempel and, of course, our prime minister-to-be, Chrystia Freeland. You know, it's a giant circle, folks. These people have got it figured out from all different angles, and it's all coming at us right now in light speed fashion.
Well, here's an interesting angle that I hope some legal eagle team out there, or somebody that has the finances to do something like this, would jump all over. Our entire elected bank of officials, every last one of them, have abdicated their duties and responsibilities to unelected individuals, i.e. Theresa Tam, foreign operative implanted in our country who now dictates and controls our country. This is a crime of treason upon every elected official that submits to this foreign intervention.
Absolutely. I'm trying to get that through to the Canadian people, make them understand that, Wayne. You know, most people, unless they've done a little bit of research themselves, you try and put this through to somebody and they just look at you like you've got three heads on your shoulder. But in the same mouthful, I am, like I said, the last couple weeks especially, I'm starting to see people really starting to pay attention. And all we can do at this point, Wayne, whether we win this, lose this, how it plays out, that's not in our hands. That's in somebody else's hands. I just leave it up to him. But while we're here, we just got to put the foot to the floor right now, because what I see coming for our children, buddy, I'm not one to be in fear, but I'm terrified for what I see coming for my kids and our country and our freedoms.
Here's a really simple question that we can all ask ourselves. We all remember – and I think I've probably brought this fact up before. We all remember pretty much exactly where we were, what we were doing, who we were around, as clear as day when 9/11 happened. The same milestone for those of us that were alive when Princess Diana had her car accident. These significant markers in history, we are facing one of those right here in this moment. And we can look at it as demoralizing, and we're going to crawl into a hole and defend ourselves when they come knocking at the door and go down on a hail of bullets. Or we can accept that life will never be the same. We will measure and mark life moving forward as pre-COVID and post-COVID. But here's the thing. We still have an option to decide what post-COVID life looks like. We all have a seat at the table right here, right now, and we are writing and living history as every sunrise happens. And this is our time. And only rarely in the history of mankind does one single generation hold the future of the world and humanity in its hands. And this is us right here, right now. So if we all truly want a better world, all we have to do is unite in defiance and determine it, decide it, tell them how it's going to be in no uncertain terms, with love and faith and conviction in our hearts instead of hiding fear and lashing out at me.
It's funny you talk about how events impact your life, Wayne. I can remember clear as day, I can see it right now, almost like it happened a second ago, where I was when we heard that John F. Kennedy had been assassinated. I was 9 years old. I think I probably was in grade four, but I can remember where I was sitting in the classroom, what I could see looking out the window, and how that announcement affected me. And it's just funny how you talked about that, because that is so clear and so vivid. Like I said, it feels like it happened a minute ago. Definitely impacted my life, that's for sure. But we are at that time right now. We're at a crossroads right now, Wayne. If I am praying every day that Canadians find the courage, the common sense, and the decency to actually look into what's actually going on in this country and the implications for our future. We could possibly lose all our freedoms. And if that doesn't terrify people, I don't know what to say. I really don't know what to say. There should be nothing more important in our life right now than stopping what we see going on. But we still hear crickets from a large percentage of the population. We still see them walking down the street with their masks on. I just don't know what to say to people at that point. But like I said, Wayne, I'm going to stay positive because a lot of people are starting to pay attention. So we'll focus on them.
Well, you know, if we go out into and just think about it in a different perspective each day when we go out, the fact that we go out is an act of defiance. And when we do it without a mask is an act of defiance. When we do these things that they tell us we know are – when we refuse to do these things that we know are baloney, that's an act of defiance. And we are seeing more and more and more of that, and we are seeing more Canadians standing up every single day. But it's hard for us to put it into perspective because we only see two or three a day or two or three a day or two or three a day. But here's the thing. It's not always the same two or three a day, two or three a day, two or three a day. And now when you look at what's happening across Canada collectively this last weekend, I bet you there was more than a million people were standing up against this.
I've seen the numbers. I see the numbers growing, Wayne. And absolutely, they're growing exponentially.
So we have to realize that maybe there's far more people that are actually awake. And like I've been talking, is people, they're awake, but they don't know what to do.
Exactly. And this is
where we're being organized in organized or specific acts of public defiance, of united defiance. This is going to embolden and empower people so immensely. What we saw in Ontario yesterday, yep, with the kids and the parents standing up and saying, "No, my kid needs to play. And this is spring, and I am not jailing my kid again under house arrest in the first nice weekend of the summer." That is how we make them back up, and that's how we win. That's the only way we win. It is the only way we win.
Hey, it's people having the desire and the heart to do that, Wayne.
Correct.
I'm seeing it in a lot of Canadians. If we could just reach the general population with the actual facts, just for 24 hours or even an 8-hour period, we grab the narrative and really let Canadians know what's going on based by hardcore facts and information. You would see a lot more people rise in our society, but, you know, I still believe a lot of them are out there. They know something's not quite right, but they always believe that there's going to be a knight in shining armor come over the hill and save them, that nothing really bad could happen to our country, even though we see a little bit of this, a little bit of that. A percentage of society is still in that matrix. I see them coming out of it, but we really got to shatter that right now. We somehow have to reach Canadians, because what you talked about earlier, them pulling a false flag in Canada, and a major one, I believe that's on the table right now and probably is going to be played out in the very near future, because they are losing the narrative.
Well, and I think that's exactly what the intent of what we're seeing play out in Montreal. And when you see the mainstream media coming out, like in CTV's case, and promoting this, because as champions of this, this is really a setup for them to say afterwards, see, we told you so. Look at these anti-lockdowners. Look at the violence that they create and they promote. This is the difference of what some of us saw coming and understanding what a propaganda system is all about. This is part and parcel. This is their job. This is what they're paid to do, is to make themselves right through projection and prognosis. And people are seeing that this in some of these polls and stuff that they run. It's absolutely laughable. For example, the one that they ran trying the other day to get the public outcry to get Randy Hillier to resign, that absolutely backfired on them. And I think there was a 99% or 91% response telling
CTV positive. Tell them to shove it. Telling them to shove it. Yeah. I saw that. That was encouraging. I love Randy, man. What a warrior he is. And Derek Sloan and the rest of the anti-lockdown caucus. That video I watched the other day was so inspiring. And I've shared it across the country as far and wide as I possibly can, because people are starting to watch this and they're starting to ask the same question. What the heck is really going on here and what the threats are? So I praise that man. I've tried. I think actually I reached out to him and I'm waiting to hear back from him. Maybe I can get him on the air here.
That would be awesome. And if you do, just let him know that when I saw that poll, I actually turned around and flipped it on CTV and put it out on Twitter to see how many people would support Randy to run for prime minister.
He what a man. Well, would we see some changes in Canada, buddy? we got to get away from the mainstream majority political parties in Canada, because they're all the exact same snake folks with just a different head. Some of them are wearing lipstick. The rest of them are really what they are. And we see that now in Canada. We don't have opposition in our parliament in any shape or form, that they're all on board with the same agenda. So we need to shake that system up to the core right now, Wayne. What do you think?
You know, That's could be a whole other show of discussing all of this. and this is one of my things where I don't support any political party at this point. I will support the message of a politician or somebody that is a representative of the people if there is merit or logic to their message. But I do not support any politician at this point in our country, because not a single one of them is actually addressing the root cause of the problem. And they'll all admit that they know what the problem is, that Canada is in fact a de facto nation. We have never actually had constitutional conventions and set up an actual legitimate constitution. And everybody standing up and fighting for what our Charter of Rights and Freedom says is really tipping at windmills, because that document is a fraud. And people don't have yet to understand the significance of that. A lot of it sounds like, that bunk that I don't understand that so-and-so was talking about. But they don't stop and realize and think about it for a split second. Everybody admires the American Constitution. How did they come to that American Constitution? Yeah. A bunch of representatives sat down and held constitutional conventions, and they ratified it, and the American Constitution was born. Canada has never actually done this. What Trudeau Sr. did was an absolute and complete fraud. So I think that as we're seeing more people understanding that there is no relief, there is no remedy, there is no hope in any of the establishment parties, they are starting to become more open to understanding and listening to where the heart of the problem is. And this is actually it. And there are some very, very simple solutions. There's a lot of crackpots out there that are talking about this stuff too. And this is where it's up to us and our own – this is our responsibility to understand our own nation, and this has been taken away from us, or we have been buried by life so that this has become something that we don't have the ability, time, or access to the information to understand truly the situation that Canada is in. And make no mistake, and I hope all Canadians hear and understand this little part. The United Nations is fully, fully aware that Canada is a de facto nation. In 2012, one of their human rights investigators actually did an in-depth investigation and for 3 years played tag with Canadian officials. And at the end of the day, when Canadian officials refused and could not provide the evidence, this UN investigator was going to go public. And as he did, he died in a hotel explosion in Rwanda.
Imagine that. Coincidence.
Imagine that. And since then, this Canadian official that played tag with him was put out to pasture in a stud farm with a healthy pension and in a deserted place where nobody could find him, reach him, talk to him, or ask him questions about it. But he is quietly, peacefully out at pasture, and no Canadians know about this, right?
I've heard about this before, but I've never really investigated. So thanks for bringing that to our attention, Wayne. But that would be a subject for another day, like you said.
Absolutely.
That could be an hour by itself. Just like, I'll get your last. We only got a couple minutes left here, but real quick, what do you think about the little black snakes defining in masks across the country? Isn't that? I only got a minute, so we only got a minute left. But I'm gonna have to let you go here in a couple minutes. But I'm gonna get your thoughts on that real quick, and then I'm gonna thank you for coming in again, Wayne, because it's been a blast. Go ahead.
This is another tentacle of the evil that is being perpetrated against us. I have had so much testimony. I literally have some masks here that were sent to me that were issued to the Chrysler manufacturing plant. Now, get this. Chrysler is owned by Fiat, who contracted a robotics company to design masks for them that were then manufactured and created, packaged individually in China, and then dispersed to the entire Chrysler Corporation factory plants here in Canada, and you don't even need a microscope to see these
nanobots.
Yeah.
I know. We don't have time to talk about that one, Wayne, but if you get time next week, I've got two doctors joining me next Sunday that are really going to blow this open, folks, so I'm looking forward to that. Just another, like you said, another tentacle of evil. What these people are capable of doing, like you said, we can't wrap our minds around it. But unfortunately, we're living in the reality of having to deal with them. So thanks for joining me, Wayne. It's always been a pleasure. Real quick, tell people where they can find you, my friend.
What'sUpCanada.org to deal with the censorship the best that we can. I'm pretty much a solo team here, so it's tough to keep everything moving. The most sensitive stories that I do are put on What'sUpCanada.org, and so far we are hanging on by our fingernails on the primary platforms, Facebook, YouTube, although I am under suspension on YouTube again. But you'll find us everywhere, Rumble, Twitter, Telegram, everywhere. What's up, Canada?
Cool. Well, Wayne, as always, it's been fun talking with you, my friend, and I look forward to having another talk with you in the near future. Thanks for coming in today, my friend.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Okay, folks, I'll be back in a couple minutes with two really incredible ladies. I'm joined by Patty Walking Turtle and Barbara Three Crow, and we're going to get into a guaranteed and interesting conversation. I'll be back in 3 or 4 minutes. Welcome back, Third Hour, folks, and thanks again to Wayne Peters for coming in. And as I said, I look forward to a conversation with that man very, very near future. I'm joined by my two favorite ladies in the whole world, and that's not a lie. I've got Barbara Threecrow in with me and Patty Walking Turtle, ladies that I've had the pleasure of enjoying conversations with for I don't know how many years now, but always enjoyed my conversations with these two very intelligent ladies. Welcome to the show, ladies, and always like to start off with the pet peeve of the week. And I know Patty's got the big one, so let's hear it, Patty. And welcome again, guys.
I guess my pet peeve would be that there are too many people in the world who are willing to buy and drink the Kool-Aid rather than do their own research and find out exactly what's going on in the world. We've come to a point now to where it cannot be put under a blanket. You cannot cover it up anymore. And I still run into people who are still saying, no, it can't be that bad. Yeah, it can be that bad. And yes, it is that bad. When you're sitting at home for a year, over a year, and they're telling you that you're going to get a jab and then you got to have three more, but you're still going to have to stay in your home. And, oh, by the way, you have to wear those masks. And, oh, by the way, this is the new normal. Where are the people up in arms, you know? It's just and I'm going to say it, and people are probably going to say, oh, there she goes. But there's too much ignorance in the world today. Willful ignorance. In other words, people don't want to know. Well, you can't do that. You can't do that. You have to wake up. You have to be a part of the change. You have to be a part of making things right, because this doesn't affect you as much as it will your children and their grandchildren. And it's not about you. It's about the lives of those of the next generations. And if we don't do anything now, if we don't make our stand now, our grandchildren and their children won't even know that there was a time in this world where the people had a voice. They won't ever know that. You know, just saying. I'm done.
Well said, Patty. Welcome to the show, Barbara. What do you think?
Thank you. Yeah, it's good to be here. Hey, everybody out there on this great sacred earth, the Turtle Island, where I'm talking to you from here. I have a lot of pet peeves, but I guess I'm going to mention maybe this is the whole issue, I don't know, is that people are determined to believe in their government and the authorities all across the board. The authority told me this, the authority said that. Whether it's mainstream media, people you don't even know, or whether it's some person who has a control or leader of an organization, or a CEO of this, or a doctor of that, or a scientist of this, that, or the other thing. The politicians, of course. The people who believe in everything these people say. That's a big pet peeve of mine. You know, I was thinking about the elections. It's kind of an interesting thing. I'm 78, so I've been through a lot of things in my life, and elections, of course, in this country, and I have voted and I have not voted, and quite a while back I realized doesn't really do any good, because all these elections are fixed anyway. You know, I really did sense that, and well, now come find out it's true. But I found out that, well, people, they put up, there's two parties, and you have to lock into a party. And that's a pet peeve of mine as well. Once you lock into a party, that's it. You're that you're chained. You don't even show any interest in the other person or the other side's perspective on things. You just are locked in, blindfolded, and dumbed down into that party. You don't do any research on this person standing up there telling you lies and what they're going to do for you. Go through history and look at all their speeches. They're pretty much the same. They tell you everything you want to know because they know what you want to know. And then when they get into office, they do as they darn well please, and it's only for their own agendas and their own, club. So I just look at that and I say, well, we take a responsibility here and all over to put a vote in for a person that we don't even really know. We only know what we're told about those people. We don't do any deep research about their past, about their family or their history. What's going on with this family? What's going on with these people? What have they been involved in? We don't do that. We just pick a party. I'm going to be a Democrat. I'm going to be a Republican. And whoever they put up, I'm going to vote for that person. Doesn't matter what they are, what they've done, who they've murdered, who they've paid off, paid to play. That doesn't matter. I'm just going to vote because it's my party. Well, that's my pet peeve. There you go, folks.
Well,
what's that song? It's my party, and I'll cry if I want to. Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
There you go.
if that's your party, you're going to cry.
Well, we definitely woke up in wackadoodle world, that's for sure, folks.
Two sides of the same coin, right? We got it.
We have it. And it's funny, you know, Patty, that I went and listened to a show that you and me did about 4 years ago. And it's absolutely crazy what we were talking about back then and how it's all come to fruition. It's like we knew because we read the playbook and we knew how this was going to play out, exactly. We couldn't say for sure, but we speculated on everything that we're talking about right now. And here we see it in full force, in our face. And I agree with your pet peeve and Barbara's pet peeve is that this information now is in people's faces and there is no excuse at all for not understanding the danger that we're getting into and where we're going. And why
it's not rocket science.
It's not rocket science because they're playing their cards so hard in front of our faces right now. But I ask myself the same question every day. Why is it that a sector of society, regardless of how much information is put in front of them, absolutely refuse to see the trees for the forest? I don't have the answer to that question, but what I am experiencing, and we talked about this in the last couple hours, is that we are now starting to see people waking up in a fairly good rise in numbers across Canada. I don't know if the same thing is happening in the States, but we are starting to see people wake up. And the numbers and the traffic on social media is telling us that now. So we're in the right direction, but we really need to put our foot to the floor right now because they're coming at us at light speed right now.
Well, you know what the thing of it is that there are people waking up. They're waking up all over the globe. I mean, this isn't something that is contained here in the North American continent. This is worldwide. Everything is being played out is an agenda. And like you said, Barry, we can go back years, Barb and I too, years and years ago, we spoke about the steps that they would take. There's a lot of information out there that you can find where these controllers have told us step by step by step. But the thing of it is even with all the people waking up today, these governments are insulated. They have commandeered our forces, our armed forces who are there to protect us, to protect them. They have raised gates, walls that cover their butts so that nobody's going to get in there and go after them. Why is this being allowed? Why are the people, there's a the Constitution says that if there is a government that has gone rogue, that you have the right to take that government out. And I know this, people are saying, oh, no, that's a revolution. Well, maybe it is, but what is the alternative? I mean, I'm not talking about armed insurrection and all. I'm talking about standing up. There are so many ways. Don't go to work.
Yes.
Don't buy anything.
Right.
Don't travel on the roads. Do not support. Do not pay your taxes. Mm. All of these things can be done. And I guarantee you the moment that the people in mass stand up and say, done. It will be done.
You know, it will be. When you boycott, people of over, years and years have determined to boycott something, right? And it doesn't matter what it is, but when people determine together to boycott something, they really affect that business, they affect that, what we're we're talking about here. So it's kind of amazing to me, just as you're saying also, Sis, I agree with you. The people, it is up to the people. We have to come into unity. We know that, and we do see that happening all over the globe. This is a worldwide awakening, but then we have a greater percentage as well that is still sleepers and just watching mainstream media. It's about unity, right? We know that. People coming together, standing together, and that's what they're afraid of. They've always been afraid of that, and they've worked very hard to separate us. They have continually doing that to separate us, to pit us against each other. And that's been a plan. That is a plan, and we can see it playing out right before our eyes. They're pushing that. And I have to say, with these false flag gun situations, there's going to be more of that. I'm sad to say that, because that's part of their agenda, is right, to get people pitted against each other, to take our rights away. One of them is the Second Amendment, our right to bear arms, and so on. And you can do research and look at different countries where they confiscated. They took the people's weapons. They took the people's guns. And what happened to those people, those nations? You know, you can do the research on that. But they're pushing that. This is one thing. Incrementally over centuries here, they have been introducing this bill, introducing this law, a little tiny piece here, a little tiny piece there. And people go, oh, darn it, that's rotten. But then they just continue on their same pattern. And then the next couple of years down the road, another bill is introduced. Oh, and they go, oh, that's rotten. And then they just continue on with watching TV. So incrementally, we have been, you know, they've been pulling the threads out from under our rug. They've been taking away the foundation of this country and your country. And that's been incrementally very sneaky, but very effective, so that you don't know. You have no clue what's going on. You know, you get annoyed and you start talking to your neighbor about, did you just see what they just did? Yeah, isn't that rotten? Well, I got to mow my lawn, you know, and so what? That's what I'm saying. So this is like the indoctrination. I call it the brainwashing, and the indoctrination has been going on for centuries. So this is why we see some people just looking at you like with a blank stare when you say, did you see this? Do you realize that? And they look at you like, huh?
Yeah, you're absolutely correct, Barbara. An example of that is just what has happened in my lifetime, what I've seen change in my society since I was 10, 11 years old. You're a few years older than me, but you remember your childhood as vividly as mine, when even back when I was like, this is what, 55 years ago, I remember society being based on the family. I remember me and people around me having great respect for our elders. I remember everything that was evil, and now we find that all the evil now is good and all the good is now evil. Our world has been turned upside down, and that's just in the short span of my lifetime. Yeah. It is absolutely gone downhill. But the thing, but what we got to realize and we got to put into context is that these people behind, I'll call them the people behind the curtains, they don't do things in leaps and bounds. They do it incrementally, tiny little piece here, tiny little piece there. All of a sudden, they've got it all, and that's where they're heading right now. Go ahead, Patty.
Well, I was just going to say, that should tell you what time we're in. You know, Barb was just talking about, and you're talking about, when the illegality of government is forefront, so that the people can clearly see. They're not hiding it. They're putting it in front of you. The laws being enacted are not laws that have anything to do with a prospering nation. The laws that are being put forth now are to control, simply to put people under control, to the point where, you know, it used to be you thought it was bad because you have to have a license for this and that and that and this and this and that and that. Licenses are nothing compared to what they're doing now. If you thought that the government had too much control on you because you had to have a license for everything in your life, just think what it will be when they get this tracking system in. Just think what it will be when these social credit systems are enacted. Just think what it will be when they deny you the ability to shop, when they deny you the ability to have medical, real medical help. These things are coming down the tube. They're in the works right now, being enacted. This time, I don't care who you are, you've got to know that if you've read a Bible, if you've looked into prophecy of any kind, you know that these are those times.
Absolutely.
Because the markers are there. And that lets you know that if you don't become proactive in how you stand up against this, then you're going to be swept up in that tide. You're going to be, and I'm not saying that if you stand up that you're not going to be persecuted. No, I'm not. What I'm saying is this is your time. If you believe, if you feel that you have every justification in the world to live life as you choose in happiness, then this is your only window of opportunity. And these people that march in the streets and carry their signs, that is the indoctrination of this control that says if we get the if the people get mad, we'll just lead them into the streets so they can yell and scream, and then they'll go home and turn their TVs back on. That's why I'm saying we need to boycott. We need to stop supporting. That's what they don't want. That is a unified people. That is making a real statement that is going to cost the control. They can't control us if we choose not to be controlled.
Absolutely. Go ahead, Mark.
Yeah, I was thinking about the license that you need. You know, the Creator made everything, created everything we would ever need, all the medicines on the lands, the foods, the medicines, the clean water, the fish in the water, you know. You could go to the water and fish for your people. Now you need a license to go fish. You could go out if you needed food and meat and whatever. You could go out and you hunted and you took the whatever was there for your family. And, you know, and in our tradition, we always did it in a sacred way with a prayer and gratitude and so on. But now you need a license, you know, to go hunt for your family, feed your family. So you need a license to travel. You need a license to get married. You need a license and you need a document to get divorced. You need a license and a document to die, to get buried. You need a license. Now it's going to be you need a license, a card to breathe. Now you're wearing a mask. You can't breathe. So now you're going to get a little card. I got my COVID shot. Look at now. I'm going to next week, 2 weeks. I'm going to go get my second COVID shot. And the person's wearing a mask, and they're all everybody's giving them thumbs up. You're going to need a license to breathe. That's the next thing, and it's true.
Well, they're bringing in the fart tax too. You hear that, Barb?
Oh, I'm sure they're going. Well, they've already blaming the cows for you know.
Cows, no, if you exhale of that part of your body more than certain times, amount
tax.
Of times every day, you're paying XX tax.
Better
on
get
it.
Some so probiotics.
You're killing the planet. You're
how are they going to be able to prove that unless you got this
device
wearing
a plug?
They're
going to put a monitor on your back.
Yeah.
Come on.
It's they tied into the RFID
it's
chip.
It's already been created. It's called a fart meter. No, I mean smart meter. Sorry. Oh, I mean, it's ridiculous.
How did we get off there, guys?
You have to have some humor here, folks. It is so absurd. It is.
If you don't laugh at this, Barbara, you're going to go insane.
I
chuckle all the time. It's not that I'm chuckling because it's funny. Like I said, if
it's
I don't laugh at some of this, I will blow up. I will lose my mind.
What are they going to come up with next? I'm telling you, it's going to be a fart meter. It is. It's got to be because they're coming up with the most. You can go into the ocean now in Sweden, but you must wear a mask. And the people are bowing down and say, thank you, I can go into the ocean now. Put my mask on. I'm telling you.
I've seen people driving around in cars all by themselves with a mask on. And
yes,
I look at them as we're going
grass.
By. And they look at me like, you know, why don't you have your mask on?
I see a guy cutting his grass yesterday with his mask on. I see a guy riding his bicycle the other day with his mask on.
Yeah. So here's a funny meme. Here's a meme for you. Picture this. You got one person standing there in a car without their mask, and you got another picture of a person in the car facing them with their mask, and they both got their fingers pointing, and they're both screaming at each other. And one saying, "Why are you wearing your mask?" And the other person says, "Take your freaking mask off!" You know, and that's like, that's what's going on.
Oh, what a way to pit society against each other, right? You know, they are the masters. They're the masters of division. Well, they are the masters of division. And the divisions they put into our society over the last, I'll say, 20, 30 years, they don't look like much. Well, yeah, they don't look like much by themselves, but you put them all together, and we find ourselves in the position we are
now
today.
Now they want, the next thing will be, well, I already saw this photograph. I don't know where it was, probably in China. This mother just gave birth, and she's encased in plastic, you know, with a mask, and they hand her infant to her, and the infant's encased in plastic, like a plastic laundry bagger, you know. you can see through it, but there's this tiny little being just came to the earth, and they're, you know, out of the mother's womb, and it's encased in this clear plastic bag with a little breathing tube. Yeah.
Oh.
Yep. Oh. I'm telling you. That's what's going on. And people are okay with it because, you know, it's fear. They are bowing down to fear. And the fear is the key piece. We know that, right? I mean, look, when people say, well, I'm a really good person, I wouldn't hurt anybody. But then you get into a group of people who are saying, if you don't, you know, it's like that, what is it, this prisoner of war in China in the CCP, who was a lawyer and I don't know what else, but he was very high up, and he was a lawyer for people, you know, who were imprisoned, you know. And he was talking about the indoctrinations of the people. You stand against a white wall in a group of people, and the leader says, "What color is that wall?" And the person looks at the wall, and they say, "Well, it's white." And the guy comes over and thrashes him around the head with a whip, right? And then he says, "So what color is that wall?" And the guy is looking at it, and he says, "Well, it's white." And the leader comes over and smashes him again all over his body with his whip. There's tons of people watching this. It takes the guy three times to finally say, when the leader says, "Well, what color is that wall?" He says, "Any color you want it to be."
Just an example. Indoctrination.
That's right. Out of fear. And the whole rest of the group there watching, they were all asked, "What color is that wall?" And they all responded in sync, "Any color that you want it to be."
Well, this whole thing is not about a virus. It's about fear, folks. Fear is the biggest weapon against us. When this came out in Canada here, our prime minister came out and screaming at the top of his lungs that 50,000 Canadians minimum were going to die. And possibly 350,000 Canadians were going to die. And in came the draconian measures. And, of course, it was only going to be for a couple of weeks to flatten the curve. Well, if people think for one second that we're ever going to get back to a normal society again without mass disobedience and people standing up in mass and saying we're not going to take this, we want our lives back, their power right now is exploding. They're drunk with power. They're never going to give it back. People like this don't give power back once they've got it. Once they have it in their hands, it's there until we take it back. And if people don't stand up to this, we're going to have the fourth wave. We're going to have the fifth wave. Oh, and the Canadian government just made an announcement. They said by 2036, they figure the restrictions are going to be lifted. So I'm kind of looking forward to 2036, you guys. I don't know about you. Just trying to be funny.
Do you remember we talked about this Professor Neil Ferguson, right? A couple years ago, maybe two. Professor Neil Ferguson, the coronavirus mastermind, right? He warned the government. This is what Fauci locked onto, because this Ferguson told everyone that basically the. Let me see. He was part of the Imperial College of London. He offered a paper that prompted the UK to scrap its coronavirus strategy. He basically said that, talking about the millions of people that were going to die, they call him Professor Lockdown. Just saying. I can't find this thread. Okay. In 2003, I think it was, the swine flu, basically he warned people. His study was a LARP, a lie, you know, basically. And he got them to kill, I don't know, millions of, was it pigs? Something along those lines, because everybody was going to die from this particular flu virus at that time. And they found him out, basically. He basically just fudged these numbers, and he said 510,000 people could die if the government didn't, do the lockdowns and keep everybody, locked up and vaccinated. Mm. And, you know, but basically at the time of the writing, I mean, this is a major thing what he did, but that's what Fauci went by, this guy's numbers, because he did the same thing.
Their computer modelings have been right out to lunch, right from the start of this. None of their modeling has come true. And that's what they're basing all those moves and these draconian measures on, computer modeling that has not come to fruition at all. But people can't look at that, Barbara. They just can't get it.
What's the first thing that occurs to you when they tell you something like coronavirus has exploded this year and last year exponentially, but the flu virus didn't show up?
No, it took a year off.
Right. What's the first thing that occurs to you when they say something like this? Is that you got to be kidding me? That doesn't happen. That's not possible. Somebody's lying. That should occur to everybody, because this is what the CDC and the people are trying to tell the public. Is they're saying that there's no more measles outbreaks, there's no more chickenpox, there's no more flu, there's no more anything.
Just COVID.
Just COVID.
That's it. Well, what does that tell you, folks? Come on. You don't have to be a rocket scientist to figure that out. All of a sudden, the flu virus that they've been pushing every year for how many years in a row, sticking vaccines in our arms, all of a sudden took a year off. And, well, that doesn't happen, but try and get the common person to understand that. That's grade one science. Go ahead, Barb.
I'm looking at the donations to these particular science groups, medical groups. This one, the Centers for Disease Prevention, the ones that give out all this information. This Ferguson, he co-founded the MRC Center for Global Infectious Diseases, and he created this, right? And it's basically what this does is the body advising national governments on pathogen outbreaks. But guess what? It gets tens of millions of dollars in annual funding from you-know-who? Bill and Melinda Gates, all right? I'm telling you, they're all in this bed together. It's must be a pretty big bed, because there's plenty of them in there under those covers. Mm-hmm. But I'm just saying, I'm just looking at this. The wrong information that this person gave. And he was telling people he was supposed to be wearing a mask. That was the lockdown in the UK. He was caught on a journey down the street to meet his lover without a mask, and entered her house, and they did their little hanky-panky, whatever. So he's telling everybody you have to mask up. This is, whatever, infectious. And then he goes strolling down the street to go have an affair with some lady who was, of course, married and whomever, whatever. But I'm just looking at this dark stuff here that people do, and greed. You know, we talk about fear. Well, on the top of the list to me is greed. You know, greed. I don't know, causes people. It's a disease, and it causes people to do very dark stuff. You know, I'm just saying, very dark stuff. And we have a whole bunch of people who are in that greed club. So, just saying.
Well, one of the leading vaccinologists in the world, a gentleman that has been supporting vaccines all his life, Gert van den Bosch, I hope I pronounced his name correctly, I urge people to go listen to what he has to say about this vaccine. He is screaming at the top of his lungs, like never before in his life, of the dangers of what we're doing with this vaccine that's being unleashed on the public. And this is coming from a man that supported vaccines and has been involved with some vaccines all his life. For him to come up and make a statement like that should have everybody's attention. And this is the words he said. So go look them up, guys. It absolutely astounded me when I listened to this man talk about this situation we're in.
Well, just to give you an example, in 2009, one of Ferguson's models predicted 65,000 people would die from the swine flu outbreak in the UK. That was in 2009. Guess what the final figure was? Below 500. There's a brilliant person for you.
Actually, I just found an article on that, and I'm going to post it in chat here for you guys in a couple of minutes. You can have a look at what this gentleman had to say and who he is, and it's absolutely mind-boggling what he's talking about. But he's not alone. There's thousands and thousands of doctors that are trying to be heard about this situation, and they're being quashed. Nothing against the narrative is being allowed to be heard on mainstream media. That should have people's attention, don't you think, Barb?
Well, I think that, that should, we would say, well, it should. Aren't you curious why there's a certain amount of doctors, thousands of doctors from all over the world, virologists, you know, Pulitzer Prize winners, scientists that are saying they don't agree with what we're being told to do and what they're saying this is. They disagree with it, and they're telling us why. And you have to ask people, don't you find that curious that they're censoring these people? And we're told we must only listen to Fauci and his little clique there? I mean, don't you question that?
None of the opposing narrative is allowed to be heard, Barb. If that doesn't have people's attention, I don't know what to say to them. That is full-blown censorship. Government narrative only.
The thing is that you shouldn't need to hear another point of view. You should have already come to that conclusion by yourself. When they say something like, okay, you have COVID, you don't have symptoms, we can't catch it in you, you haven't been around anybody, but you still have COVID, but you don't have symptoms, so we're going to have to quarantine you. If that makes sense to you, then there's a problem. There is a communication breakdown because there is no way that you can be symptomless.
That's right.
And have whatever they're telling you is has a, what did they try to say, a 6% mortality rate or something? It's not, you know, it's insane.
0.0025% mortality rate.
Yes, it can go in a church, but it can't go in a casino, you know. It can riot and burn and loot, but it cannot have a prayer thing outside. Well, you know, you can't have a barbecue in your backyard because COVID likes barbecues.
You can't. If you go into a restaurant, you must wear the mask at the door and to your table. But when you sit at the table, the COVID will be nowhere around. It doesn't like the table, you know, but you take your mask off and... And you sit in a restaurant. I was stunned the first time I went in a restaurant. It had been like a year I'd gone out to a restaurant, and I was practically ready to stand up and just start screaming. I was like, "You people are crazy."
Well, but as long as you're sitting with your own group,
you don't go out in the aisle. If you put your leg out from underneath your table, you're going to get COVID. If you put your hand out in the aisle next to your table, you're going to be attacked by the COVID. It's not at your table.
All I know is some comedians down the road are really going to have a lot of fun with this in the future, I'll tell you.
I think we're a bunch of comedians right here, you mean.
Or there's going to be some movies. There'll be some movies made about this, man. Unbelievable what kind of a world we're in and how fast we got here.
This is going to be a big movie, I'll tell you. It's going to be episode after episode. It's going to be a series, for 5-year series on Netflix. I don't know but where it's going to be. But probably Mike Lindell will have it on. He'll have his own movie series. Yeah, the Great Dumb Down, and then the next series will be The Great Awakening.
Well, we're going to have to get you and Patty in on that movie somewhere.
I don't want to be on a movie.
Oh, Patty won't. Patty doesn't
want to. In a movie.
I've never seen Patty's face yet. You know that? I really want to see her face one day, but she won't.
I haven't seen my face either.
I have so, because it's on your Facebook there, Barb.
You're funny.
And I zoomed in on it, and even though 7 years old, I can see your face there, and you're a very slender lady, and you look like you're in good shape, and you take care of yourself for an old boot.
Yes, I do. I'll tell you something. I never got a flu shot. I've never gotten the flu. I mean, people dropping all around me, and I never got the flu. You know, I have certain things I work with, alternatives, but also energy. I work with frequency and energy. I work with visualization. I work with color healing. I work with a lot of different things. You know, your mind, they call it mind over matter. Your mind is powerful. You know, I've met people after years. When I was in high school, I met people like, you know, 25 years later, and they look like old. They look old. You know, there's like this belief that when you reach a certain age, you're old. You get old. This is what you're supposed to look like. This is how you're supposed to walk. This is how, you know, what's going to happen to you. There's a whole list of things that are going to happen to you when you reach this age and that age. If you believe that crap, that's going to happen. Mind over matter. The mind is a powerful thing. So, yeah, I've never gotten.
You don't mind, it don't matter.
That's right.
Exactly.
Exactly. So that's powerful. You know, our grandma said, what goes around comes around. And they also said, mind over matter, mind over matter. That's what we're talking about.
My mind is still 20, but my body's 66, so.
All right. It's kind of funny, though.
You're correct. If you allow yourself to become complacent and don't keep yourself active and let yourself get slack. I know people here in town, man, they're 55, 60 years old, and they can't get off their couch.
Do you know something?
I know people that come into the restaurant with a handful of pills, and that's what they take three times a day.
You know,
go,
what?
Wow.
You know what? Wow. When a doctor tells you, well, I'm very sorry to tell you, but you've got 6 months to live, go home and prepare to die. The persons go home and they prepare to die, and then they die. If you believe what that doctor says, now I'm not saying, you know, in some cases this is true, it, you know, isn't true, but it's really fascinating to me. You could, we've all heard this little phrase here. The doctor said, go home, you have 6 months to live. That's like an overall statement that doctors make. And invariably, many people do die when that doctor says they were going to die. I'm just saying. I don't know.
Mm.
Just saying.
Mm. Well, I can say that's true because there's been two instances in my life where people have told me. One told me they only had 10 years to live, and by gosh, well, 10 years they had passed, and then Marty, the gentleman that I took care of, the doctor did at the VA. The doctor told him, you've got 6 months, and that's when it was.
Wow.
I would say to that doctor, get lost, because you're never dead until you're dead.
Yeah, well, yeah, I started to say
something. And there's always hope
something.
As long as there's a heart beating in your chest.
But that's a brainwashing.
That might,
that's an indoctrination from an authority. Okay, this person is the authority, so we're trained early on, believe the authorities, don't question authority. I just want to say, you know, basically like the one more piece here is, how many people or stories have you read where somebody says, I think I'm going to die when I'm 55, and they'll say, well, why? Why are you thinking that? So, because my father died when he was 55. He died young, right? And this person believes they're going to die also at 55 because their father died at 55.
Well, they told my dad that he would, for 15 years, they told my dad he'd be dead in 6 months.
Wow. Yep.
You know? And when he was ready to go, he was ready to go, and he went to sleep, and he went, you know?
That's pretty powerful. You think on that, boy, that's pretty powerful mind indoctrination about.
Say, Barry?
Yeah.
Yes, Steve?
I'd like to add something. There's a...
Go ahead.
There's a story out there on the internet. I haven't been able to substantiate it, but there was a man like 20 years ago or 30 years ago, whatever it was. His doctor told him to go home. He was going to die in 6 months to prepare himself. And he didn't really want to accept that. And he looked into alternative healings and alternative medicines and stuff like that. And 20 years later, he went to his doctor and he said, here I am, Doc. I'm 20 years on. And his doctor told him, that stuff doesn't work. That stuff doesn't work.
I remember that. There's many stories
went,
like that.
Many stories like that. I have one of
and
my
he
own
went,
Steve.
And he went home and died the next day of that of that particular cancer.
No, not that one. I've heard stories of people who were told they have terminal they're going to die and go home and prepare. I know of one. I know one person who got lupus, and she went through the whole, not lupus, a different kind of cancer. I can't remember it, what it was. But anyway, she went through the chemo. She nearly didn't make it that time, and 4 years later it returned, and she determined to do alternative. She went through alternative healing methods, all kinds of stuff, and she's fine today.
Yeah. Hey, Barb, I got one quick story I'm going to share with you guys. A friend of mine in Terrace, his name was Larry Callen, well-known guy, came home. They told him he had 3 weeks to live. And I heard about it, and I went up for the first time I met Larry. I went up to his house. I brought him some chaga, and I brought him some cannabis oil. Larry lived for 5 years. He'd been chemoed 8 times in his life, and what got him in the end was pneumonia. But his cancer... The chemo is what got him in the end, but he lived for an additional 5 years. Cancer went into full remission simply by adding chaga and high doses. We had him on doses of cannabis oil the first couple of days where he couldn't get off the couch. Completely knocked him off his feet, but we needed to get a gram a day into his body as fast as we could. Larry lived for 5 more years.
My sister had liver cancer and she was dying. I started cooking up the SEAC tea. It's called SEAC, but it's 4 herbs from the people up in the Penobscot people, a grandmother up there, Grandmother Longboat. I met her. She gave us the recipe. I have that medicine. And started giving that to my sister, and she made it for 10 more years.
Right.
10 more years.
Yep. For dealing with cancer in people's bodies, the optimal situation is to be putting at least a gram a day of high-grade, high THC, CBL, CBD oil in your body. The THC is absolutely critical. You hear people talking about oil now that they remove the THC. Well, that is meant to be in that plant because there's sedative properties of THC that are critical to the healing of the body. But what we did with Larry, Barbara's, we slammed him with the oil. It knocked him off his feet for about literally for 4 or 5 days. Larry could not get off the couch. Because the sedative effect of THC, when you hit your body with it that hard, it's like drinking 24 beer. But you know what? After about 6 days, he was up and walking around like nothing. All of a sudden, your body acclimates to it, and he lived for another 5 years, folks.
Yeah.
So you tell me that when the doctor tells you to go home to die, I would tell that doctor to take a hike, period. Go ahead.
Well, Patty, we haven't heard from you. Shame on them, right?
Yeah. Patty, we got to hear from you again. Come on.
Well, you know, if we're talking about true health and being able to live in a world that provides that for you, we have to change things drastically. And it can be done. I mean, there is more health probably growing in the lot next to your house or the field down the road or even in your backyard. There is more nutrition and more healing properties in the natural world because there is nothing in the pharmacological world that is actually healing. So the only place you're ever going to find your health is in nature. And it doesn't take a lot to become acclimated to the healing plants, the nutritional plants in your area. There's so many different venues that you can go to. You can go to, if you have a horticultural research center, you can go there. They'll give you a list of the natural herbs and plants. Do your research, cross research with herbs and that are for food and herbs that are for medicine. There's excellent books. Also, you can go to a university. Any university that has an agricultural department will be more than happy to sit down with you and tell you about what grows in your area. Every place on earth has what you need to heal your body. It has everything that you need to provide yourself with nutrition. That's the way nature is made.
Well, I just posted this. I know you guys probably know this. I don't know if the listeners do, but this is about how Rockefeller founded modern medicine and killed natural cures. I mean, that was a deliberate. They set out to basically destroy anything of nature, natural paths or natural medicines or anything along those lines became a huge taboo because Rockefeller's plan basically was to natural herbal medicines were very popular in America at this time. This is quite a while ago, and it's true. And they were practicing holistic medicines in those days from Europe and also the Native American peoples, right? So, but he figured out a way to get rid of the biggest competition, which was natural medicine. The classic strategy was problem, reaction, solution. That is, create a problem, scare the people, and then offer a pre-planned solution. That's what he did about natural medicine. This was Andrew Carnegie, you know, that wonderful man, Andrew Carnegie, who helps people to prosper and, you know, become successful people. He and Rockefeller did this. They devised a scheme.
Big money. The same thing we could talk about Henry Ford and what he wanted to do for our fuel for all automobiles was going to be based on a hemp-based alcohol.
Yeah, exactly.
It would no carbon. It would have been perfect for our society. But, of course, there was no money in that because oil was becoming big dollars, and it was quashed, just like he wanted to build an automobile out of hemp, way stronger than steel. It's like now we're seeing a incredible rise in attention on industrial-based products for hemp. The values. Yeah. People are really starting to pay attention, Barbara. They really are. Company in Calgary that I talk about all the time, they're growing exponentially. Go ahead.
Well, I guess what we're saying is that Creator gave us all the medicines we would ever need. They're right there. But people like Rockefeller and Andrew Carnegie basically set out to destroy that and turn the people against nature in many more ways than that, you know.
Mm-hmm. There's a book everybody should go buy, Barbara. It's called The Encyclopedia of Natural Healing. It cost me $39. I've talked about it many times on shows. Go and spend the $39, folks, because every disorder, no matter what it is in your body, there's a natural alternative to it in this book. There's, so go get it.
There's a couple other books, too, while you're on books, that I'd like to say. The Scientific Validation of Herbal Medicine. That is a must if you want to formulate, if you want to find out how and what compounds in your herbs do what vitamins, minerals, and nutrients those herbs have in them.
Right.
That is the book for you. And I think it's Daniel Lowry, Lowrey. You need to really check. And then the Peterson Guides. There are Peterson Guides that will give you all the herbs in your area. It will give you pictures of them for better identification and also tell you if they're edible, medicinal, and what properties they have. Go ahead, Mark.
I also wanted to talk about the three aspects, you know, body, mind, spirit, you know, in relation to health and well-being in our Indian culture. This is the way our medicine people always looked at a person who has a disease. It's not a disease, it's a disease. And it's never just the one thing, it's not the issue. It's the full person, the whole person, body, mind, spirit. And oftentimes it was really known that when a person is sick within the spirit self, their body will break down and they can get a disease, they will become ill. Emotions cause illness to the body. You know, we know that. The fear definitely affects the immune system's ability to function well. But we have to think of the whole person. You know, you just don't have a sore arm, right? There's something going on with it fully, body, mind, spirit. Or you just don't have something attacking you for just one reason. But in the medical system, we know what they do is they cut it out or invade it with radiation or chemo, and disregarding that person, what is going on in that person's emotional, spiritual, and health, body. So I just want to mention that as well, because a lot of times if people are really stressed out, emotional, or dealing with very deep issues, you know, their spirit is affected. And which also affects their body and their immune system and so on. So it's the whole person we look at when we work with healing. Just want to say that.
It's all part of the same package, isn't it?
Yeah.
It is. You are what you eat. There's never been a truer statement made in the world. If you eat junk food, you will be junk. If you eat garbage, you'll be garbage. Mm-hmm. what comes in goes out.
Well, and then they make sure they feed us all these bad foods that are really not healthy. You know, they've tainted and corrupted the foods, and they push all this stuff on our kids, the bad foods, the, you know, corrupted foods, sugar, high sugar, chemicals, and various other things. So we're up against a lot, but you can do this. You can do this, but you have to want to. Just like we're talking about in the beginning of the show, you can find the information about what is really going on and how to help yourself and your families, you know. But you have to want to do that. You have to want to step away from what we call step away from the system, the matrix, step away, get out of it, get yourself out of it so that you can think critically, so that you can do really important research and don't, you know, and just don't take one thing or a couple things or one person's or what we're saying as factual. We're just giving information. Go searching yourself. We have to do this, and we can do this. We can change our health, our well-being, and we can change whatever's going on here as well, but we have to do this together. You have to start with yourself. I always say start with your own, you know, your own healing. Start with your own self, work on yourself, find your healing, your health and your well-being, love for yourself, respect up for yourself, and then let that spread out into your family, help your family, help your community, be the center of that circle, and you know, you'll feel empowered instead of helpless and hopeless. When you're sitting all day long or listening to people who are really negative and pushing fear, you're going to go down. It's going to feel really hard, you know, but it is hard, but you can do it.
Amen. We can do it. What we're really seeing is a rise in detoxing in bodies. My buddy got those detox pads for his feet. You see advertised now?
Yeah.
Well, he told me the first 3 nights he had them on, or first 3 days he wore them, they were black.
No kidding.
He said by the seventh or eighth day, it was just a tinge of darkness in the pads after wearing them all day long.
That's
so I just ordered them.
No, but I have to say
detoxing our bodies is absolutely critical right now. We're being bombarded with chemicals.
Well, we talk about earthing. The term is earthing, or we call it get your feet on the mother. You know, about it's called earthing. Some people call it coin that phrase. But to go out on the mother earth in your bare feet, you know. Right? That's also part of our connectedness to nature, because we are beings of nature, but also that's very healing and a form of detoxing and form of grounding. Yeah.
It feels incredible when you do that, Barbara. It really does. People have got, you've got to do that. Take your socks off and walk in the grass. If you haven't done it for a while, it really gives you a feeling of connection. Well, you know what, so ladies? We're down to about 7 minutes. Like,
I just want to add this little piece about the feet and feet in the flexology. The feet have all these points that connect right with every organ in your body. So that's right. Just that.
That's why it feels so good. Mm-hmm. We're down to about 6 minutes left here, ladies. The hour went very quickly. I want Patty to add a few thoughts and Barbara some closing thoughts, and we'll have to let you go. But it's been a pleasure talking with you, as always, Patty.
Well, I have to say, I always love coming on your show because we always get to talk, you know, about just about anything, you know. I know that today we've got a lot of concerns. The main thing is we have to come together, not meeting out in the street and holding hands. We have to come together under a single mindset. No, I'm not talking about a hive mind. I'm talking about the mindset that says, my life matters. What I do matters to life. You know, because that's where we are at this moment, at this time. We are responsible for what comes next. Regardless of what is being dealt to us, it is what we do that is going to determine where we find ourselves. Anyway. Live, love, laugh, and stand strong, everybody. Thank you, Baron. Thank you.
Hey, thanks.
It's really great to be here. Thanks for asking me on, and I always love to be on with you guys. And I feel the same way. Just keep that positive note in your mind and your thinking, and step outside on the Mother Earth and take some nice air, breath of air, and be outside for a while. And there's a lot of healing out there. I've experienced it myself, and. And, yeah, don't let fear overtake you. You know, I know this is a challenging time for that, but I guess we hadn't had a lot. about our faith, you know, which is really key too. But I always say, get your foundation strong in that faith. Really important. And blessings on all of you. Amaya Duksha.
Thank you, Barb. Well, you know what you said is so true. If you don't take time, folks, take it right now and get a chance to go outside and walk in nature and fresh air. It really does something for your mental cogniness. Today I went out for about an hour and a half, and I probably walked about 2 miles today. And I'll tell you, it gives you time to reflect. It gives you a sense of peace. It allows you to rationalize a lot of your thoughts. And for me, it works very well. We are in crazy times right now, and I believe they're going to get worse before they get better. I'm not a fear-mongering type of person. I've said that many times. I don't consider myself to be a fear-mongering type of person, but I look at lots of different signs, lots of different prophecies, lots of different things that are happening in our world right now that seem to be pointing us in a certain direction. I like I've said it many times in my life, the most important thing that I can do now is start my day with prayer. I ask my Lord Jesus for strength. I ask him for guidance. And I ask him for wisdom. And it's working for me. If I didn't have a spiritual connection right now, I honestly feel, folks, I would lose it because the world is going crazy. But I'm not going to let myself go crazy. Thanks for coming in this week, folks. And thanks to Patty and Barbara again. And thanks to Steve, my producer. Thanks to the stations for providing us this platform. I'll be back next week, same time, same place. I'll tell you right now, I got a couple doctors lined up for next week that were supposed to be on this week, but I have them for sure next week. And they're going to talk about nanotubes, something that we didn't even get a chance to discuss today. But it's something that we all must be made aware of right now, what they're actually doing in our masks and our tests and everything else. And the fact they're coming from China, this is going to get blown open here in the next week. And so it needs to be. So look forward to seeing you guys all next week. You people have a great week. Thanks for joining me. God bless you, and bye for now.
You're listening to www.peoplesinternetradio.com. Seeking solutions.